Hey, this is Chris.
This is Greg.
We're here joined by our very first advertiser. We have Jason Stapleton.
The Jason Stapleton.
He is a true professional. If you go to jasonstapleton.com and you look at his podcast, it's amazing. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you as a sponsor of the podcast. We encourage all of our listeners to go and listen to your show. Tell us a little bit about what you do over at jasonstapleton.com.
Well, thank you very much for having me, because I paid you.
Yeah.
No, we would have had you on anyway. Yeah. I've been wanting to do this for
Chris
a while.
Chris and I have been talking for a long time. So, I've been a very big fan of your show for a long time, too. And I was telling Chris before the show started, you know, what I really like about your show is I feel like I'm sitting in the living room with you guys, and I feel like it is just a filterless conversation about what's happening in the world from a libertarian perspective, and I think we need more of that. And I just really like your perspective and what you guys bring to the table. So it's a good show.
Do we have to pay you now? Is that how this works?
No, that's you get that one for free.
All right, thanks, buddy. Jason, tell us about the show. What do you do? You broadcast every single day. That must be grueling.
So I do the show 5 days a week, and what we try and do is we try and take what's happening in the news every day and approach it from a libertarian angle. And I try and show how using a libertarian mentality or libertarian approach to the problem will create more wealth, more prosperity, more opportunity for more people than any other possible, structure. And so that's what we try and do every day. And I have a very condensed timeline because I own a couple of other businesses. This is a side business that I'm trying to turn into a primary business. And that's a slow process. But we've been at it for almost a year now. And it's growing. So I'm very happy with the progress. And people who are coming are saying great things about it. And if any of your listeners want to head on over there and check it out, you can download it on iTunes. You can go to YouTube and catch the video version. You can watch it live streaming from our studio if you go to jasonstapleton.com. However you want to do it, it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what, you have the most impressive video. It is so beautiful. And I professionally, I do video and audio broadcasting and video encoding. And you have the prettiest studio, the prettiest stream. I love the look of your show. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. A lot of people say that it was a very expensive process, but one I wanted to do. I have a belief that a message, you create a lot more message visually when people can see you. And I built several other businesses using video, and I wanted to do the same thing with this podcast. But far more people listen to the audio version than go and watch the video version. But just getting another media form out there and having the space. One of the things I want to do with the studio is have people come in and sit down and do sit-down interviews with folks. We've been discussing with at least one of the potential libertarian candidates about having a debate at the studio.
Ooh.
And bringing both of them in to do a head-to-head debate. So a lot of that stuff is stuff we want to use that studio for. But yeah, it's been a work in progress for about a year now.
Well, it is beautiful, and he is being humble, asking you to politely go download the Jason Stapleton Show in iTunes. I, as dear leader, am commanding you.
A fatwa.
This is a commandment from the We Are Libertarians crew to go and download the Jason Stapleton Show. Go to jasonstapleton.com. View the video. There's a lot of different ways to engage with Jason. I think you will, if you're a fan of this show, you will definitely like his show. And, you know, Jason, thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. Welcome to This Week in We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle, and apparently I'm being periscoped by Aaron Ewert. How are you doing, Aaron?
Wonderful.
What is your periscope? Have you figured out which one you're periscoping this time on? Which Twitter account?
Paranoid was my periscope. It's Paaronoid.
All right. And then your cousin Tyler's here, Tyler Weiss.
Yeah, whatever you want to say, dear leader.
Tyler Weiss.
I know. However you want to pronounce it.
I every single time I are you. Why do you never talk into the mic? Okay, all right. You're not on. That's why. I thought it was good.
All right.
Well, I thought it was good. Very funny.
I haven't heard a whole lot of feedback. But.
My coworker Jeff Vibbert has a little podcast. Go and check out his tiny little episodes.
It's very small.
His little bits over there at jeffvibbert.com or in your iTunes. Sam Nix, you're here again.
I'm here.
Yay, she's got a microphone this time. Last time she was just like yelling random things away from the mic.
That's my favorite thing to do. It's just pretend that nobody's listening to me, but yelling anyways.
Pretending or... Now, joining us, live from Brooklyn, live from New York. Yeah, take that microphone. Is Amir Rothschild.
What's going on, Chris?
Not much. How are you doing?
Trying not to die with a lot of cat allergies right now.
I know, man. You are, I guess, severely allergic to cats.
Yeah, something of that sort. I feel like this was a plot by the Indiana Hoosiers out here.
Uh-huh.
But I am trying to survive, and I am a winner and fighter. I will survive.
What I have not told you in the roughly 6 months that we've been hanging out in a chat room... I am.
Oh my lord!
God bless you.
Thank you.
No offense to the atheists out there.
I am actually CIA, and you are being scheduled for extermination.
Your payments are actually 2 months late, by the way.
And you. So I came across Amir through these brutalist groups. So Greg, Aaron, Tyler—they were in these groups that. So Jeffrey Tucker, a long time ago, wrote this article about how there are two types of libertarians. There are the hopeful libertarians and the brutalist libertarians. And the brutalist libertarians just, they're more like, if you remember Maya from the show, a lot like Maya, just watch the world burn. And, you know, everything's negative. They're prepper types. And so these Facebook groups spawned, and it was just about becoming, like, brutal and saying everything that was as offensive as possible. And mostly it just turned into 4chan on Facebook in these Facebook groups. Now, you connected with these guys through those groups. Are you a libertarian? I don't know what you even are.
I am.
Okay. All right.
Of sorts.
All right.
I don't like labels, but I do, you know, someone asks, what is the politics you follow? I would say Ron Paul.
Okay.
So, you know.
When did you become a libertarian?
Probably 2007 when I discovered Ron Paul.
Okay.
It's not necessarily the libertarian title. The beliefs were already there. He kind of confirmed them
right. And
solidified it.
Same with me.
Yes.
Same exact time period, too. Now, you're also Muslim.
Alhamdulillah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't talk your voodoo talk here on this podcast. We worship Jesus. Now,
it's a Christian nation.
you actually made Aaron pull over the car towards northwest? Northeast?
Northeast.
Northeast. If Kanye converts to Islam, then they're all going to worship Northwest. Thank you.
Oh, my gentle Jesus.
So hey, don't trigger him. We're not offending our Muslim guests.
I left the vest on.
All right, good. Now, you, are you a devout Muslim?
I would believe so, yes.
All right.
Do you eat pork?
No.
He does not.
Haram!
So you don't eat pepperoni pizza, correct?
Well, there's beef pepperoni, but I wouldn't eat that either.
Why not? If it's beef.
No, I just don't like processed meats of that sort.
So, okay. Yeah. You're also a
clean meat.
So
clean
he's chicken, a hipster.
He's a Brooklyn hipster.
He's a hipster.
This kid came to Indiana wearing his flannel. He's wearing a flannel shirt, and he goes, now, should I bring my cowboy boots and my cowboy hat so I can fit in better?
Shout out to Blake Shelton.
He's been listening to country music all week long to prepare for his trip to Indiana because he's from Brooklyn. He doesn't know any better. He went to the Weeknd concert last night. He's got hair that is like...
Phloem.
It costs like... Not the Weeknd. I'm talking about Amir. Amir has the fuckboy fade, and it swoops over to the side. With
shout out to my Israeli barber out in Long Island.
Wow, you go to you go to an Israeli barber?
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you didn't like the...
turn off Fox News, Chris. Turn off Fox News.
So you get along with the jurors?
I am a Rothschild, after all.
Oh, okay. We know that's not your real name. Now, from... now, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. Listen. I'm so sorry.
Give me this microphone back.
No.
Turn your phone off.
It's off.
This is a professional broadcast.
Off.
Why are you tendering?
This is very professional.
Yeah. I don't tender.
Tender.
Now, you are a brutalist. You are a libertarian troll. Do you claim that title?
I don't take any claims of any titles of brutalist, libertarian thin, libertarian thick, anarchist, yeah. Voluntarist, nihilist, any of that.
Why not?
I don't like to be labeled, because yeah,
fucking libertarians, man.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
You know how you're so libertarian that you can't.
You don't
want to
be grouped into a group, you know. You don't.
But these absolutely are classifications not to identify your belief system.
Right.
Do you not have a belief system?
Correct. But if one were to say, I'm a libertarian, people automatically assume, oh, you're supporting Rand Paul.
Right.
You don't want to, there's things that you may disagree with him, which we all do, I'm sure.
Right.
So therefore, no titles for me.
Now, what is your opinion on ISIS?
Sorry, the connection's really bad right now.
You're breaking up.
I can't.
Well, that's troubling. Can somebody? I see something, so I'm about to say something.
I hear a drone, by the way, for the last 20 minutes outside. I don't know what that's.
They're just waiting
it
for
was
Greg.
Amazon.
They're just waiting for Greg to get here
wait
to bomb
for
us.
One more cell phone down to get over in here. The
yeah,
region, and they're gonna hellfire the finally shit out of this place.
Make sure.
And Nice is gonna be the one to press it.
Oh, you listen. I love James Nice, but James is full of shit. You can believe like half of what that kid says. We all know it. Right?
Right.
Back me up. I know we're all going to get doxxed for saying that.
I voted for James Nice.
You did?
Yeah.
He did.
Twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
I spiritually voted for him.
Well, you're from New York. You can vote anywhere in the country.
I picked up his lithium prescription for him at CVS today.
No, so I have a serious
funny
question.
Funny thing about that CVS, though. Earlier today, our first encounter with the Hoosiers at Walgreens with Aaron, and the lady at the counter asks, looks me in the eye, are you a U.S. military? And I just look at Aaron and, what? No, yeah. Thank you.
The
no.
proper response is, no, but the U.S. does fund my military efforts.
That's a good one, yes. As I, back to the point of...
Amir, get the door. Hey.
Well, look who it is.
How are
you? We're going to have a conversation with Greg.
Salaam alaikum, Mr. Greg.
Good to meet you in person, Mr.
Likewise.
Should I say Rothschild?
You can do that. You can fine. You we're
can
on air, so stick
you
to
you can
that.
Say his real name.
And I will storm out of here.
And I don't know where his mic went, so Sam, give him your mic.
The hipsters brought IPAs, I believe.
They're Bell's Too Hearted.
Yep.
Haram.
Haram.
All right, so we need to get settled here. I don't know if there's a mic. So, Sam, you'll have to give up your mic.
Well, I just tried to do that, but Greg was...
I know, it's male privilege. Sorry.
Passing out gifts.
Yeah, he's passing out Bell's Too Hearted Ale.
She probably wants one.
We've got quite the party going on here.
Yeah, I'll take one, too.
So, essentially, because...
I got a Muslim-designated driver, so thank you.
Yeah, Amir doesn't drink. I don't drink. This weekend's going to be epic because there's DDs everywhere.
Oh, yeah, Tyler's about to get super turnt.
Tyler's very excited. Tyler, in front of you, I hope you can read.
Yeah, I have my own rule.
Yeah, so I have, because of the last appearance that these fucking assholes... the last time they were here, we have instituted some... Yeah. Thanks for listening, Amir.
House rules.
We have some new
who
rules.
Are you, by the way?
Let's do it AA style. Why don't you read the first one and then pass it over to me, and I'll read the next one, unless Amir... you can read, right? Muslims
these
can
are,
read?
These are printed up, and it's not in...
Is it in Egyptian? Because it's...
No,
that's
not hieroglyphics. Rule number one is do not get anyone fired.
Right.
Explain.
Listen, I have a great job. I have my dream job. Greg apparently has a job. Allegedly, we don't know exactly what Greg does, but
I'm a dank meme dealer at Manhattan.
We've got
just about to say that
Aaron, who rolls around in crawl spaces. Tyler, we don't know what he does either. Amir is a race car driver for Red Bull.
Apparently.
Do you fly those things off the ramp
look at
into
this,
like, Hudson River?
Ridiculous
a
jacket
a little higher
wearing.
Than Hudson River.
He's dank.
We will take a photo of the group and post it on our Instagram and our Facebook page. House rule number two, don't do anything that ends a marriage or starts one.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. The first part is for you. The second part is for Greg and I and Tyler, although we don't ever anticipate him getting married. all right, number three.
He's
Sam,
a confirmed bachelor.
Thanks, brothers.
Rule
he's
what they call
three.
A meninist.
This is my favorite. Yes. Don't break my things or do anything that will annoy me, like touching my things.
Who touches your things?
You, Aaron.
Yeah.
The last
great culture.
The last time this fucking asshole.
Well, there we go.
Was wow. here in my apartment. My cats didn't have water for 18 hours because he hid their water dish. I have a water fountain that filters their water for them because they're my precious little sweethearts. And
that's why she bit me as soon as I walked in.
Yeah. And then he took the aerosol air freshener that I provide for my guests when they take a steaming hot poop in my bathroom. And he took the air freshener and he put it up on top of the light bulbs in the bathroom. I couldn't find it for 2 days.
Hala Akbar.
I stand up to wipe because yes, I stand up to wipe. don't act like you're not one of those too. Some people sit, some people stand up. And then I look up, and there's the aerosol can. I get it down. It burns my hand. I'm amazed it didn't blow up. And
somebody say blow up?
Lose
blow up?
Yeah.
Lose a finger.
You got trolled in real life, son.
Number four. That's for you, Amir. Why don't you read that?
How appropriate, since they are killing me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Don't annoy my cats.
Yes. This one is for Sam. Sam was here last time. And
Mittens loves me.
She was growling at you and about to bite your face off. Now, number five really goes out to everybody, but one person in particular got a shout-out on the house rules. Tyler, read those rules for me, please.
Number five is don't get too drunk. And then in parentheses, it says Tyler.
Yes. Last time, listen, if you listened to the last episode that you were on, you had a very strong episode, and then we came back from a break, and you were like, Uncle Barry at Christmas time. You know what you do?
Hey.
How many millions in a billion again?
I get a billion confused, and my 10, dyslexia 000, kicked in, and 10, my
Uncle Max?
And everything else.
Yeah, Uncle Max took
Uncle
over.
Max?
I apologize, but...
The liquor's taking over now, Randy.
So, it's like 1,000 million or something.
Amir is dying, so we're going to give...
Apologies, cat.
I like Amir immediately better now because I can't stand cats.
Really? No, they're you cute, son of a bitch. But like I sit there and I'm just slowly dying. My throat's closing up, my nose, nasal.
Right.
I sound like Schinkelstein right now from Brooklyn. So.
So.
Hi, Lauren.
Amir, I am so glad that you are joining us from Brooklyn, from here in Indiana. What is your impression of Indiana? You've lived in New York your whole life?
That is correct. So far, the suburbs seem pretty much on par with, you know, Long Island. It's not
right.
much different. We haven't explored the woods area, the Hixie-ish area.
The
so
Hixie, yeah.
We are waiting for shout-out to Martinsville, by the way.
Going tomorrow.
Yeah, so, we're going to take you down to Martinsville. We're going to take you out into the woods.
Yeah, I mean, they said the woods, and I see some rope. I don't know what that's about, but we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wait till they take you to one of the fire parties out in the woods. They're a lot of fun.
There's a lot of wood out there. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there is.
They burn the wood.
Sure going to be a lot of wood out there. So we've established the house rules.
By the way, confession of sorts.
Okay.
Everyone thinks I'm from Brooklyn. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Brooklyn.
Right.
But I've lived on Long Island for the last 16 years.
Okay, because you fucking lie about everything.
Yeah, that's professional trollism. So now you know at least one truth. Then again, you may not know.
You're from
so.
Long Island. At least
well, sort of. I mean, it makes more sense with the Jewish part of me, so.
You're not even Jewish.
Although, I don't know what you're talking about.
Although, just saying.
He just swore over to look at my nose, by the way.
Did
he really
you
did.
Side profile him?
Yeah, I did. I profiled him. His side profile.
It's supposed to be a safe space.
No,
I know.
I love the Jews. Okay. All right. There is a loaded gun on the table.
No,
can somebody get me a pen? I'm writing rule number six.
This is unloaded.
This is actually a rule that needed to go in at episode 100.
It's unloaded.
It's unloaded. Then what is the point of the gun?
Exactly.
Okay. Let me get out the Sharpie here. Number six.
Here.
Don't.
Why was there a
check your
gun
firearms
shoot.
At the door.
Anyone
Harun
in their body.
Hey, I'm trying to recover
like that,
right now from
you had to number specify one in their body.
In the face is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of people that have been shot in the face in this apartment.
Hi-o.
So
pearl necklaces.
Just
oh God.
What are you guys talking about, you filthy animals? Okay, so added number six. Now, so we have a lot of liars here, but we have one truth teller, and his name is Greg Lenz.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
I am really starting to question your commitment to this podcast.
I am struggling right now. I'm loaded up on Sudafed Max. I actually might need Aaron to clear a condition on a closing tomorrow, because it's supposed to close tomorrow, and there's an issue with the crawl space.
Oh, I'm
so
your
man. That might be very helpful, but I came today to discuss race because it's something that's very important to me.
Right. You love race.
I am a lifelong...
racist.
Yeah, that.
I don't think they heard that.
No, but I am sorry about that. I did not... I should never have turned on my phone when I got off the plane and came out here. Because if you can hear me, I am struggling from the change in pressure and like weather.
Where were
like,
you?
82, Marco Island. And so went from 82 to like
Capital
Ice
Florida
Age.
Of the homos.
Where, of the what?
What? Please don't say homos. That's offensive.
Yeah.
Is there the Jews there? No.
No, those are Boca Raton.
Jews are okay,
those are
but homos are untouchable. Got
right,
it.
Right.
Checkpoint.
Yeah, Boca,
rule number seven.
Boca is where Amir will probably retire to.
Hey.
Play some now, shuffleboard.
Where's Marco Island?
It's right by Fort Myers, just south.
Okay. Is that in the Pacific or is that in the Atlantic
other
side?
Okay. The Gulf side.
Okay.
The Pacific side. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
just Hawaii is a short trip.
Okay. Now, you're it's stunning because you have been Mr. Reliable for so long and then now you're not showing up. You're no calling, no showing. You're sleeping in, you're showing up late.
Sleeping in was a year ago.
Listen, I'm piling on here.
That's all right. Actually, you're totally fine because the way the day's gone, it's like, you know that Ron White joke right. where he just hit something hard. I don't want to walk away from this. That's about where I am.
I am teasing you. I appreciate your effort to come to the podcast after getting off of a plane and then dealing with fire.
Well, I shouldn't have turned on my phone. The worst thing in the world is, or turned it on, is dealing with work when you want to just come podcast.
Right.
You should never do that. Podcasting, someday, Chris, podcast will be our work.
Now, I have no idea what that's like because I podcast for work.
You trolled Jeff Vibbert professionally.
Yeah, not this show. Although many of you people have sent in your donations to help We Are Libertarians, and I'm going to pull up their name. I'm going to start with the people that I love the most because they are consistent. Thank you, Tyler. Tyler Weiss. Coming in with a dollar donation.
And he always brings presents.
You're lucky. I was going to spend that on a Mega Millions Stripper. Ticket. It's up to like 200 and something million.
As always, we love Christy Avery and we love Phyllis Klosinski here in the Klosinski Studios. And then we love CJ Rodine. I will probably say your name wrong. Christopher Lane. We love Joseph Ellick. Rebecca Sink-Burris, my great friend. I love her to pieces. Sam Naimi. And, you guys are great. Thank you for kicking
Kirk French,
in.
As always.
Yep. Thank you for kicking in a few bucks through our PayPal. You can go to WeAreLibertarians.com and get in on the action.
I will be donating a box of tissues to you.
Thank you. That's more like you're paying back what you used.
I will be donating 2 boxes of tissues.
So yes, if you are friends with any of us on Facebook, and you're more than welcome to friend me, and I'm sure everyone on here on Facebook, there's Aaron Ewert, figure out how to spell that out. Just go friend me, Chris Spangle, or Greg Lenz. You'll see the names of these jokers tagged.
Go to the Hitspiration page, and you'll find the rest of us through that.
Or dank meme stuff.
Yeah.
So Greg, like a year ago or whenever he started the memeing, he said to Joe Ruiz, he goes, "We're gonna make Spangle internet famous with all these memes.
Every show needs a star,
right? And of course,
and you're our star.
It should
a
be
yellow
me.
Star,
right?
Yeah.
Stop it. And so Jeremiah Ewert, I met him tonight at dinner. He's much fatter in pictures. He's actually a very skinny, decent-looking guy.
Aaron just trolls his own brother.
Holy shit.
In photos, he actually looks very fat.
He's not photogenic.
Well, when you ride a moped, it's kind of distortive, you know?
It's the opposite of the angle for effect with him.
Right. Yeah. And so he goes, yeah, anytime you go out somewhere, if you're in Irvington or if you're like at Liberty and Chill, Fridays at 6 at Blackacre here in Indianapolis, or if you are at the Rathskeller, I get photos on Snapchat and a messenger from my friends with photos of you saying, "Hey, Spangle's here," which is the weirdest freaking thing on the planet.
I know.
When on Halloween night I went to a party and one person came up and they go, "Man, you really made it. All those photos of you on Facebook, it's really amazing." And then you said you had a similar experience.
Well, I was at Forecastle in Louisville, and Joseph Ross, who's a listener, ended up taking a picture of me while I'm waiting in line for a beer and posting it, like, on the, "Hey, Greg Lenz is here," and doesn't even come up and say hi.
Where was it?
At Forecastle, the music festival in Louisville. Oh, and I'm like, what?
What a basement dweller move.
So
I was like, "Dude, I'll buy you a beer." You know, and then like, you know, at weddings and stuff, they'll be like, "Yeah, you and Spangle are really doing well." I'm like, "Yeah, podcast makes a lot of money." Really rolling in dough. It you wouldn't believe the women. The women
just
are
just piles of snatch everywhere.
Unbelievable.
I had to get out the snow shovel to
I know, there's just so many women falling out of this apartment.
I think I'm the only girl in this apartment right now.
Right now. So. But wait until all you leave, and then
someone
they all come
here
back
is
in.
Gender neutral. Actually,
right? Is that because of
that
you? Because of that haircut?
That's not me. No, the guy.
It's
my
definitely
right.
Aaron. Yeah.
No, I go both ways. I don't care.
Now, he's like ass is ass.
But it is. It's just so funny. Like you start making fun of your friends on Facebook and throwing up memes, and all of a sudden, people from your high school come up and go, "That's the best part of my day."
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah. Like that's happened to me at 3 weddings this year, and I'll just be like, "You listen."
All three of them were mine.
People are so easily impressed.
I know. I was
sorry. I was just picturing Chris. Literally throwing up memes, like.
Oh yeah, no, I'm like the
meme bulimia,
like the angry cat, and just
it's like
the
god,
yeah. Bad luck
rainbow
Brian.
Just coming out.
Yeah, like I have started to think in memes, like it's really disturbing. Like the way that I start to talk and think to be with people, it's memes. It's all memes.
I was telling somebody it's the new era of contextual writing communication.
Right.
So you do have to have the pre-existing knowledge of the context around the meme. But then you don't have to transmit as much through the written word.
No.
Right.
It's cutting edge stuff, guys.
Make sure that punchline hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, you're breaking your own house rules.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Dear leader.
I guess we had
to. He's not. It's like Congress. You're not bound by your own rules.
He's like a police officer. You don't have to follow the speed
limit.
Man,
I institute house rules and I have to edit something out because I almost broke rule number 2, which is don't do anything that ends a marriage.
Well,
or starts one.
That out
or starts one.
Talking about.
People don't know if it was, you know, maybe it was starts one. I might have been trying to make out with Sam. I don't know. Ooh. You don't know.
I guess, Mia.
Yeah, so trust me, Tyler. If you make out with Chris Spangle, you want to get married. You want to marry him.
Oh, I've seen your game in action. And I'm not going to put it past you.
You make out with Chris Spangle, you want to get married. To someone else immediately. So that never happens.
Are you like good luck Chuck over there?
No. I'm doing fine. All right. I've got a mirror in my house.
What's going on?
Not much, buddy.
There's actually 2 mirrors in this room.
2 mirrors?
Not just a mirror.
A mirror. I've got... Okay. All right. Remember earlier the conversation...
Tyler started drinking, by the way, guys.
I did your pun.
Remember earlier when I said that the pun is the lowest form of comedy?
Well,
that and sarcasm.
Yeah.
Which was so funny and smart of me to say. See how that wasn't funny at all? Sarcasm. Ugh.
Hey, I like to dumb my comedy down.
I know you
do. Because most time it flies right over the head.
Okay, you're breaking rule number 4, Aaron. You have a laser pointer out and you're bothering Mittens with the laser pointer. You're annoying my cat, which is rule number 4.
She loves this shit.
She loves this shit. Okay. Right. She does, actually. So the gang is all here. We decided to throw... We're going to have an epic weekend. This kicks off a whole weekend of shenanigans. Tonight is the podcast. We got some dinner. We went to dinner. We flirted with some waitresses. Ran into Nas. Nas, our friend. Rebecca was at...
How depressing.
was at Roy Best Friends was at there. And she... See, the best thing about Nas is that Nas loves to rustle... Nobody rustles Greg at
She
all.
Doesn't rustle me. She's just like literally the most depressing individual. Like Tony Robbins would cut himself if he met her.
Nice.
Not kidding. Nice. That's the level of her personality.
Oh, that's not true.
Joel Osteen would become an atheist if he met Nas.
He'd be sad. You know, I woke up this morning, I'm not feeling so well.
Rebecca, God is not in your favor.
Oh,
wow.
Could you please? And, yeah, so we saw her, and then tomorrow night we're going to have Liberty and Chill, which here in Indianapolis every Friday night, 6 p.m. at Black Acre Brew Pub, if you're local within driving distance. We all get together. I don't go every week. Greg doesn't go every week.
I've been consistent lately, but, you know, since Brett's not going to be there, Brett Bittner, who's appeared on here before, least
right.
favorite occasional intruder, I'm going to go.
Yeah. If he's not
It'll
there,
be great.
If he's not there, I'm in. So we're going to do that. We're going to hang out with other fellow libertarians here in the area, and then God knows what. And then Saturday night, that's when shit's going to go down. We're going to go to Morty's Comedy Club. We're going to see Michael Malone, the comedian. I've got like 10, 15, 20 people lined up to go to celebrate a mirror. And then we're going to Broad Ripple, and we're going to tear up Broad Ripple. We're going to take you to Rock Lobster.
Did it all up. All up.
We got to go to Lava, and we're going to pitch that he's a Saudi prince.
We're going to go to Rock Lobster so he feels comfortable.
That's exactly what I was thinking. He's going to be with his people.
Yeah. Explain Rock Lobster, Sam.
Well, it's a lot of Persian?
Amirs, yeah. Yeah, you can say it. A lot of people that look like you.
Nice. Fourth wife. Watch out. Coming for you Saturday.
Are you are you polygamous? Is that what goes on in your faith?
Faith, I thought everyone on this table is a polygamist.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, you always were bragging about five girls left and right, so
yeah.
I figured everyone is. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler,
don't lump me in with that because I know what you're talking about.
Tyler,
these polyamory people. I don't get it.
Tyler,
you're a pansexual. You know it.
Yeah.
I like that he's putting us down, but he was on Tinder swiping left on Indiana fat girls all night tonight.
What? True. 112 straight lefts.
Okay, so explain the difference between Indiana Tinder and New York Tinder. In the mic. This is a radio show. He's trying to think, but I still need you to talk into the mic, even when you're thinking.
Indiana is like, their Tinder girls are like 9/11 to America, and Brooklyn, New York girls are like the day America was born, Eagles just calling.
Donald Trump rising out of the ashes.
Donald Trump rising, yes. So that's my comparison.
This is literally your Tinder 9/11.
I actually know what he's... So when I lived in Arizona, my guy I lived with was from Iowa, and we used to talk about... There's like Arizona hot, and right. then there's Midwestern hot. And like right. Midwestern hot is a gray sweatshirt and jeans, mm-hmm. you know, can skin a deer.
Buxom.
Yeah, you can stay on for all 8 seconds.
Voluptuous.
Yeah, maybe a lazy eye.
Little chin
track
fuzz.
Marks.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, then you go like outside of Indiana, you're like, oh, wow, what I thought was a six is actually a three. You know, it just, you know, I understand, Amir.
No, thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Yeah, my cousin was from San Diego, from whence Sam has come, and he said he moved here and got into the dating pool and immediately jumped right out and said, this is the dating kiddie pool where apparently everyone has pissed in your gene pool.
This shit's shallow, yo.
He goes, what is that thing with their mouth? Why do women here, there's some women you go to like Walmart and they have the thing with their mouth and it's all tight and it's meth mouth. And I was like,
oh, the pinched?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's literally just meth mouth, bro.
Yeah, sorry, TMJ Jake. From too much meth.
Yeah, so you suck on that cigarette too long, it makes you go, you look like Joan Rivers.
I don't like all the judging that's going on here.
Yeah.
I'm
I love
sorry.
All women. They're
are
all
you
beautiful.
Offended? Are
hashtag
we exhibiting
yes, all women.
The patriarchy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're showing your cis white
men. Oh
privilege.
My gosh, I'm so sorry. Are we...
It's coming out pretty violent right now.
Are we... Hey, are we offending you?
I was just trying to figure out if that was a six by Indiana standards. What the fuck am I?
We'll tell you later. We don't need
any. We can put a poll up on the website.
Or an actual poll.
We could do like a Howard Stern thing.
Or a poll in here.
We could do a Howard Stern thing. We'll put you in a bathing suit. You walk in and we'll judge you. We'll get the laser pointer and start pointing out your flaws.
Are you trying to make me cry?
No. Yeah. Wow.
No, that's actually what they used to do on the show. Like, girls would want to be rated, want to get into Playboy, and they'd come in, and they would rip the poor girl apart, and she'd start weeping on the Howard Stern show.
I used to watch that shit on E!
Yeah, exactly.
And they used to take a Sharpie, and they'd circle, like, right
the
around the sides.
Surgeons to do the work, yes.
Right. Yeah. Brutal. But no, you are, Sam. Okay, I was going to say you're a beautiful young woman, but I don't know what the fuck that just was. What were you doing?
White people dancing.
Sharpieing everything that would have been sharpied by the Howard.
Unnecessary.
I look over and she's like in Burning Man doing some sort of weird dance.
She's on acid.
I know.
Much ecstasy.
Yeah.
Well, she showed up with like booze in her purse. So yeah. She
knows how to party. MDMA got her feeling like a champion.
All of a sudden, I'm an Indiana 10 because she's drunk. So I went from an Indiana 7 to an Indiana 10. So how am I looking right now?
Well, I brought Canadian Club, so what's up?
You son of a bitch.
Oh, Troy Hill.
So
shout out.
I just got Troy Hilled.
Troy and Rob.
Yeah. So we have a sufficiently smeared every single racial group and women.
I don't think we touched on the Asians. We don't want to leave them out.
Tyler was
really good at math.
Tyler, are you in a car accident recently?
Oh, he almost...
Yeah. Surprisingly, I did not get hit by a woman or an Asian.
Okay. We haven't talked about the blacks, but we're not going there.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of that, your TV's missing.
Yeah.
Okay. Harry's not here for racism insurance. So
Harry,
you're gonna need to get the door, Amir.
This is gonna need to be one of those. When the NSA, when you put every freaking trigger word of the NSA that gets you tracked, this is
George
Carlin
of the seven words.
Yeah.
This is it. You're just Every word's
better. That's basically what we're going to have to lead with.
So we start this episode trolling a little bit because we want to get into being offended. Let me start out. So we're gonna need some background. I don't know if anybody has done any homework on Yale and Mizzou.
I've done Mizzou. I know the story and the fake set of events that ultimately resulted where we are today.
Yeah.
A guy named Jonathan Butler. I believe he's. I'm pretty sure he's student council student body president. And he's a gay African American guy, or I should say black, because he never was in Africa.
Right.
Republican, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
That's Harry. Harry comes on here and he has a strict no African American policy. You call Harry African American, he gets mad. He's like, I have never been to Africa. I am black.
And so
we have changed our tone here on We Are Libertarians.
Yeah. So Jonathan Butler, he sort of organizes this something in 1950, hashtag 1950. I wish I knew that better, the actual word of it. But what it was that on the University of Missouri campus in Columbia, there were some reported events that he thought were racist, obviously. And so what he thought was that a poop swastika was smeared on a wall and that it was designed as essentially hate speech towards African Americans and made black people on campus feel unsafe. Then there was a fake report, or there was a reported instance of the Ku Klux Klan on University of Missouri's campus. Turns out that had to be retracted. Wasn't true.
Right.
This results in a hunger strike by the Jonathan Butler, the student body president,
who amazingly has headshots.
I'm sorry,
isn't that weird? Greg,
can you say poop swastika one more
poop
time?
Poop swastika.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, it was a swastika of poop. Someone had taken allegedly taken poop and drawn a swastika on a wall. Which, if you think about it, isn't really how is that racist to black people?
Exactly.
It's an Asian symbol of peace.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
The white people.
Indian. They should have used white dog shit.
To the colored folks.
Yes.
Whoa. No. You don't do that. No.
It's
you
not
can't.
An Asian symbol of peace. It's Hindu.
Hindu.
India is attached. In Asia.
You're from Pakistan. You should know
but
that.
But it's a specific.
He is not Paki.
Pacific Ocean, what?
No, it's a specific religion. It's not.
Pacific?
Let's be Pacific.
I think Sam's getting drunk. Are you violating rule number 5?
No.
Okay. She says no, but that's what all drunk girls say. If you lose your keys, that's a sure sign. Am I right? Charlie, her brother's here. And he loses his keys. Okay. Let me tell you, white girls, when they're drunk, love to lose their keys. Now... I'm with you. Like, I don't understand why a poop swastika is supposed to... Like, to me, this sort of feels like this kid has been waiting for his moment to rise as the new black
leader. This was like a snowball thing where it got some traction, and then they were like, well, if we sneak this in, maybe they'll just... No one will even question it. Like, yeah, that too, you know? And so that's kind of how this resulted.
Right.
Well, this whole college community, like... It's like an outrage culture.
It is.
They're waiting for the green light to be offended by something.
It was a powder keg of outrage that was waiting to burst. There's been a bunch of social justice millennials on campuses all across the United States. Civil rights movement.
Jesus. We are professionals.
The civil rights movement has been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
There has been no outrage. I mean, Reverend Al Sharpton.
That whole black president thing.
Well, I mean, Jesse Jackson and the like, they have lost... any influence in culture.
Yeah.
And so they have been really mocked as outsiders. And all of a sudden, there's been no outlet for racial outrage. And this is boiling up. So this starts at Missouri. They end up saying the president isn't doing enough to make black people feel comfortable on campus. They feel ostracized and attacked. The head of the student council or student body president starts a hunger strike. Then this spreads to Yale, where the same list of demands are met. At Yale, they can't wait to do this. They live for this because they are the Hillary Rodham Clinton radical 60s, flower children that never had their era. And this ends up spilling over there. A chancellor or a provost put out an email that got leaked saying, let's try not, nothing too offensive for Halloween costumes, try to keep it PC.
Right.
And then kids start just attacking the administration at Yale, demanding they resign. This turns into Ithaca College, and it goes on and on and on throughout the Ivy League and throughout the upper upper white class bastions of liberalism across the United States that are the higher education institutions.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. It's not based in anything because the reports that spawned everything are...
There's no evidence.
They didn't happen. They've been retracted.
Mm-hmm. There's no police reports.
Jonathan Butler, who's really the front runner for this whole...
racist.
Yeah. Jonathan Butler, his father is an executive at a railroad company in Omaha. The guy made $7 million last year, and the kid comes from a home that is worth $1.3 million.
And as much as I hate to quote the chicks on the right, one of them had a good line... This kid has more white privilege in his bank account than I will ever have.
Yeah.
Which is sort of funny.
You know, he does.
Whoever has a ringtone on, turn it off, please. Be professional. Is that you?
Did you just burp in the mic?
Woohoo! Three times.
Thanks. Yeah. Man, this is his show. He can burp where he wants.
I can do whatever I want.
Shit on this table.
I will shit on this table and throw it in your mouth.
Maintaining eye contact.
He will shit swastika on this table.
Yeah.
That takes talent, damn it. I will have sex with every one of you except Sam. And look her right in the eye to establish dominance.
Yeah. Oh my god! Took a wild turn.
When I go to the state fair, I eat ribeye sandwiches right in front of the cows, looking them right in the eye, just so they know that I'm at the top of the food chain.
You're the alpha.
I am the alpha of the species.
Oh, so have you followed it much? I know Tyler has because I have.
I read today that they have. They have sent out a notice saying that if you feel uncomfortable, if anybody says anything racial to you, then you should call 911. Basically, if somebody hurts your feelings, you can call 911.
Good. Yep. And then, but what really, this had kind of been like on Salon and Slate and like the more left-leaning blog, Daily Kos. And then all of a sudden, the University of Missouri's football team, the black players decided they were not going to play or practice until...
No, just practice.
They were gonna play. You're kidding me.
No, yeah. They'll play.
Oh wow.
Don't want to practice.
That's actually totally predictable. I'm talking about practice.
Practice, man.
That just sounds like they're trying to get out of practicing.
Practice. And this was all. I remember Jonathan Butler actually coordinated with the captains of the football team because they are seen as the most powerful or black minority individuals on any college campus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that can actually generate buzz when they take action as a group. And I got involved today with Nick Taylor, who occasionally co-hosts on this program, and he has a friend that is in New York that's in law school at NYU. And we got into a heated discussion where she, every time I attacked her on substance first, and that immediately turned into her trying to vilify me and get Nick to judge me.
Nick
saying,
"Is this the kind of company you want to keep, Nick?"
And you made perfectly valid arguments.
Oh, I always will attack first on substance. Once that is ignored, then I
then come the memes.
Yeah, and I didn't end up memeing her, but I did think it was pretty hilarious. She was, you know, judging me and wouldn't go. Straight on with me because she said I was not a black child that experienced racism and not a black child or a black individual at University of Missouri, so I can't possibly comprehend all the instances of racism and the daily effects that I have to put up with, and so my opinion was invalid. I of course thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't get my phone to stop being wacky, and then I'll read basically what you wrote, which I thought was very intelligent.
Insightful,
and my phone has...
Reason-filled?
Yeah.
Logical?
Thank you.
You should look into getting an Opal.
More words?
Thesauruses?
Yeah, this kid has an Opal phone.
Words?
Like, how many... Like, he comes from New York, where you think you'd have a fancy phone. You drive a Maserati, and you have an Opal phone.
That's a nice phone.
Opal's a good phone.
No, it isn't a good phone. You're constantly asking the white man over here, Greg, to help you with your phone.
No, it was about apps.
That was storage, and then that was to forge documents so
I
can keep his Facebook profile.
Two nights ago is when I did Tinder, so I can troll these people, and it's been fun.
Yeah, but you can't do anything on that phone. It's a piece of crap.
I could do everything you can do.
It's Smart Talk Wireless from Walmart. Admit it.
You're just jealous.
I am.
The hate. Do you feel that, fans?
He's jealous. All right, you have a year-round tan.
Here's what Greg says. Brittany writes, "These topics are abstract and removed for you because they don't experience them. It seems like there's nothing I can do to change that." Greg Lins, "They elected a black guy as head of the student body. This isn't a 1950s Birmingham bus. Plus, there's no foundational right to receiving an education in a cocoon and warmth and acceptance. If your educational provider doesn't value your business, change providers. In addition, this is all faux outrage by a bunch of seagulls on behalf of others.
And seagulls, just so you know, that's what Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are. They fly into town, shit all over everything, and fly back out.
That's a great analogy.
Make everything shut better. Up, go to class, and then follow your dreams. The environment is irrelevant.
The company you keep, Nick.
And then Greg says, when defeated, seek to vilify. Thanks, Saul. If principled men were swayed by the opinions of those incapable of removing emotion from analysis, the best-selling food in Paris would be a Frankfurter. Oh, burn.
What a burn.
She probably is a cheese-eating surrender monkey.
And then he writes, you should go back to Tumblr. Plenty of feels there to be outraged by. So, Greg, over 350? What are you thinking?
Her, no, she's a cute girl. Okay. I was gonna pile on. I didn't do it. She has kind of like, who's the guy that owns the Quickie Mart in Simpsons?
Apu.
But with the hair, no, the hair that's like all
Uncle
over the place.
Uncle Apu, shout out.
The guy with like the hair that's all over the place looks like a piece of broccoli.
Bernie Sideshow Bob?
Yeah, Sideshow Bob. She looks like a piece of broccoli, and I was going to say, you're not a piece of broccoli. Quit pretending you are one. You couldn't possibly know what it's like to be a piece of broccoli. But I thought that would have been piling on, so I didn't go down that route. That
it's the same rack.
I'm going to put that on there now.
No.
Be ready, Nick.
You know, I really like Nick Taylor. He's a really good guy, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to antagonize and inflame.
He's like Belgium. He doesn't deserve this.
Well, he's a few years away from we are. Because Nick's in that stage where a lot of people get when they get serious about politics, where you think you can have an honest discussion, you can present the case, and you can reach some sort of mutual understanding.
Right.
And it doesn't work like that.
Not online.
You start to experience that the militant left is so angry.
The new fascists.
And they are. They are fascists. So she finally responded that she was no longer going to engage with me, you know, and then I ended up, I feel bad kind of about saying it, but I go,
you didn't say anything.
How original, the free speech hater sends me to camp. Looks like history repeats itself. And then that really triggered her, so then I just stopped trolling because I didn't want to make Nick mad.
Now, yeah, I mean, you say things, people, for instance, I'm getting ready to volunteer for a libertarian thing. And they mentioned you, and they said he's not allowed to help because of the Hitler memes.
Who said that? Mayo?
No. I'll tell you off
Hotman?
Here. No. But
if it's Sam, he's holding a vendetta, and I'm going to be pissed.
No. Old white guy. Been on the show.
Just because he's...
Oh!
Yeah. And so... And he was joking, of course.
Oh, no. I love him.
But...
And I'm not... You Hitler? Know, I would never want me in that party either.
No. Now, you... frequently take part of it was to make fun of me because as Melissa Hubbard said, and she doesn't know how much of a compliment I really took this as, she said, my Facebook wall is half Mad Magazine, half Oprah.
I love that quote.
And I know, and so I it's amazing because
so true.
It is half Mad Magazine, half Oprah, because I vacillate between off-the-wall silliness and satire and goofiness and memes. And then inspirational quotes, things to help you live a better life, to become a better you.
Right.
And so Greg, a few months ago, as I started just kind of saying, you know what, I'm just going to start saying and posting the things that I want to say and post instead of worrying about what other people might think of me. So I did this. I started posting inspirational quotes, things that spoke to me. And then Greg took these inspirational posts and copied and pasted the text over pictures of Hitler. Now, I initially was very concerned about this, and eventually I just said, you know what, who cares? Let it go. And people love it. People
they do.
People are constantly messaging he and I saying, I'd love to like that, but I don't want my friends and family to see me liking this photo of
just
Hitler.
Today, I got three different word porns that community on there. Hey, next one you do, consider this. And I'm thinking, it's reaching people. Yeah. I am helping people find inspiration. I mean, the reason right. I did it, obviously, was to troll you. Because also, too, you know, I knew you would think it was funny, but you would disavow me publicly, which is always more fun.
Right.
You know, what'd you say? I have to be like Paul and disavow you publicly.
I have to deny you three times.
Yeah, you have to deny me three times.
Like Peter.
Peter. And I just, it kind of turned into, I had stopped it. And then, like, Christy Avery, hey, consider this one. And I'm like, what?
Are you the Jim Jones of Hitler
Apparently, you know, apparently I am.
He's and leading
I,
us.
I would never would have thought I was ahead of the curve, but the rebranding had already started taking place.
Are you using grape Kool-Aid?
I'm not. No, no grape Kool-Aid.
Now, wow. So when you put together something like a Hitler meme and decide to post it on somebody's wall, you have reservations about it, or like, what do you like?
I don't, because about 6 months ago, I got really sick. What was the one that made both of us really upset about? Were offended, or you know? Oh, it was the you don't have a right to be offended in the Constitution. Trying to remember what the last one was that we both of us really got triggered by about the free speech police. And I decided I was going to go for a solid calendar year and only try to make people offended.
Right.
That was going to be my sole purpose on social media. You know, I wanted to either make them cry or desensitize them to the point nothing offended them anymore.
Right.
And so I'm not, you know, I still got like 4 months left, but.
Are you going to make it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm just hitting my stride. This might go an additional year.
I may have just suspend that.
Yeah.
I censored Greg 3 times this week.
You did?
Yeah.
But see, he was violating rule number 2.
I have thick skin, but.
That's don't do anything that ends a marriage or starts one.
Yeah.
So he, you know, we have
that rules weren't implemented when that happened.
Now here's the thing, and these are just house rules. Just in this house, when podcasting is going on, you can't do that. But outside of the house, on your own personal Facebook page, I can't control that. This is just my property. I don't want you coming in here and getting anyone fired, annoying my cats, shooting anyone in their body or face.
And I take that as, you know. You're a gracious human being inviting you into your
right.
Humble, your
this humble is my road. This is my castle. Respect. But what you do out there in the streets, you animals, is not my concern. But I will say, you know, we have a good time and we say things that are silly and outrageous and goofy, and anything that is on any of our Facebook walls, it's like we probably don't even believe what we're saying. It's just because we want like anything for the laugh. I have always said I will do anything for the laugh.
If you
want
to know how I really feel, go to my MySpace page. That's right. Where I put all my...
That's where you put your deep thoughts.
All my deep thoughts.
I have a private Tumblr where I keep all of my deep
That's
thoughts.
That's off of Main Street. That's
if you ever break into my Evernote account,
did Chris
I will
make your top 8 yet?
No, but I'm pretty sure Slim Thug is still on my top 8.
Nice.
I like your new skin, by the way. That was dank. Yeah.
All the twinklies and stuff. Uh-huh.
I love the gifts.
No, but I do think it's something that needs to happen because we have to start offending people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even kidding. Like, you have to seek to antagonize everyone you meet, because what has happened with the millennial generation in education, even liberals, even those 60s radicals that are the liberal arts teachers, are outraged. Yes. You know, they're writing articles for Washington Post saying that college has not a place to be coddled.
Right.
And when the people that, you know, were at Woodstock and, you know, we're the generation we've been waiting for, when they're writing about what a bunch of whiny, know-nothing, you know, incompetent buffoons incapable of critical thought that, you know, they don't think that the cost of free speech is worth, getting offended. Right. They think it's too high a price to pay. And anytime that's the case, you failed in education.
Yeah. So, I mean, what my day job is, you know, Johnny Carson retired, and Johnny Carson was the guy that launched stand-up comedians. And about the same time, that's when the Bob and Tom Show took off, and the foundation of our show is having stand-up comics on. And through the years, the show was fined many different times for, you know, various infractions with the FCC because people were offended by phrases like camel toe.
Triggered.
What about moose knuckles?
Moose knuckles or the various. Can you hand me the iPad behind you, Greg? My phone, for whatever reason, is not loading correctly here because I want to read something. And then, you know, the show that I work on long before I got there was it's a comedy show. It's a comedy-based show. It's a comedy institution. Like SNL, and has more listeners than SNL has viewers, just saying. It's called The Bob and Tom Show, and I'm looking this up. I apologize. I am vamping so long to get to this article. But it is about fighting back in the war on comedy. And this is written by a comedian out of New York City. Her name is Kareth Foster. And She talks about the war on terror, the war on drugs, and now there's a war on comedy. She basically said she's going to use sarcasm, but humor is under attack, and a place where it should most be coddled, where ideas should most be exchanged on the college campus. Now, Jerry Seinfeld and other, and Chris Rock and others have said that they're not going to do college campus shows anymore because the audiences are terrible because they get offended. Chris Rock can't go and do his material, which is brilliant, social commentary, because it's too offensive.
One of the things that I've also, I listen to other podcasts, and there are comedians that talk about how they don't like to do college campuses because they entice the people to come to the shows by like free show.
Right.
And so these people show up because they just want something to do for that night.
Right.
And then those are the people that get offended because they don't know who they're going to see.
Yeah. And that's always a part of it.
I'm going to go to comedy and get offended because I'm a pussy.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. So she writes, so we have so, and this is in the New York Post, in a post called Fighting Back in the War on Comedy. I posted on my personal Facebook page, Chris Spangle. Feel free to look me up.
No one cares.
Shut up. Do we have so few serious issues to garner our attention that we must look for something, anything, to be outraged about, aka first world problems? Is it an issue of misplaced altruism, or are the members of this new generation of millennials a bunch of pampered, overcoddled wusses who George Carlin, Richard Pryor, and Lenny Bruce would be ashamed of? Lenny Bruce, by the way, is a person that went to jail for saying things that were offensive to the establishment of the time, and people, college students, young people were the ones that rallied around Lenny Bruce and helped get him out. Sprung because they wanted to push the envelope. And now it is the millennial generation who is putting the envelope back. It's the baby boomers who are more courageous in what they're saying. You know, and we have things like the Twitter mobs and all those sorts of things. I also get to weigh in. In the course of my career in entertainment, I migrated from stand-up comedian to a humorist who focuses more on writing. While I haven't completely put down the mic, my concentration has been using skills I honed in comedy for something equally profound. Empowering engagement speaking with a focus on diversity and inclusion. Sound humorless? On the contrary. There's simply no way to tackle issues such fraught topics as diversity and inclusion without using humor. Despite what you think by watching Yale, without question, this approach puts my clients at ease, subdues defensiveness, and most importantly, creates a safe space for people to express themselves and absorb a message. Yes, I said safe space, because it's important to point out that comedy itself is what creates rather than invades and disrupts such spaces. So for all civilians, that's what we comedians call non-comedians, who don't see the true value in comedy, I ask you to look in the history of comedy. For centuries, it has often been the only legal and effective form of political criticism. Those who spoke out against the government could be tried for treason, all but the court jester. Comedy isn't just something that makes people laugh so you forget about your woes for an hour or so. Comedy is an art form, the most vulnerable, cathartic art form that exists. It's a powerful tool used by some of the most brilliant minds on this planet to shed light on a vast array of serious issues and injustice. Comedy's beautiful, intricate design operates on so many levels, it can give you a chuckle while making you uncomfortable and pushing the boundaries. This is how society evolves, and how we grow and learn to be better human beings again. So for this reason, I beg you to put on your armor, defend your funny bone to the death, and yes, learn to take a joke. And that is very true. I think the most important line in there is that, you know, for centuries, the only acceptable form of political criticism was humor. Mm-hmm. And it was comedy. And the function that humor plays in the role of human beings, it's a bonding mechanism. If you see the, for men especially, men don't like to talk about their feelings. We like to bust each other's balls, make fun of each other, one-up each other, and that is how we bond with each other. That is how you make friends as men. If you want to make friends with women, you talk about your feelings and how you feel about things and ask about how their day is.
You also got to tell jokes, too, to get the women.
Oh, yeah. If you want to get introduced, you got to be funny.
No, I just want to comment on that. How many people in this room were born before 1984?
I was.
I was born in 1984.
Yeah. That's just you and me. No, you were born in 85.
I was born in 87.
Yeah, I'm 83. I'm the oldest here.
You're technically a millennial. So mm-hmm. everybody in this room is a millennial.
Right.
So you reading that, and this is a room full of people that...
Well, the problem
that
is
identify
that
with
these,
that.
The kids now, they grew up on social media, and they've been told that their thoughts,
their opinions matter.
No, not that they don't, not that they don't matter, but that they can't be told they're wrong, and if anyone disagrees with them, then it's a personal attack. It's a form of narcissism, is what it is.
Well, they grew up with participation medals, and nobody's a loser, and everybody's a winner, and
right.
Welcome to the pussification of America.
Whoa.
Yeah, but what
you're triggering her. She has a pussification.
Yeah,
what,
true.
What happens is though.
What were you saying? You just sort of ran out of gas. Are you violating number 5? Don't get your drunk, Tyler.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yeah.
No, hey, you're on the watch list, honey.
Canadian.
Well, I had one damn beer.
Canadian whiskey.
No. And I see this all the time, and it has become increasingly difficult for comedians to work and exist because everybody's outraged about everything, and it is younger people more than anything.
They all take it personally. It's a narcissistic thing that they take a joke personally, like, oh my god, they're talking about me, or I identify as that, so that's got to offend me. And even if I don't, then that's offending someone else. They get offended for no reason on behalf of someone else because they think it could be offensive,
right?
And which is an ass backwards third party way of.
But we've come so far in this country that a Halloween costume is worth a protest because people are offended by it. I mean, we're not going to sit here and talk that
we've had the exact same Halloween costume.
Are
forever.
We talking about Halloween costumes right now?
Yes, because that's
Greg
what Yale's
Lenz
about.
Has the best Halloween costumes.
We'll talk about that later.
People have been dressing up like this forever, and only now. Through social media is when people...
And now I can't do blackface like I used to when I was in middle school.
No, so... It's not like there isn't institutional racism. It's I do believe...
Sure.
I do believe that there is...
But you discount it with this trivial bullshit.
Right. There are certainly, if you look at...
There's
in the history of this,
you should be outraged
yeah,
about.
In the history of this program... can I finish? In the history of this program, we have talked about institutional racism, specifically dealing with the police officers and government institutions and how they handle the African-American population. Our drug war disproportionately affects African-Americans, blacks, in this country and other minorities and low-income whites as well.
Yeah.
If you go and watch the documentary, The House I Live In, it talks about how the lowest 10% in income are... There's just a war on those people to lock them up because we don't have the economy to put them to work. And we have very... There are a lot of different factors. It's not just the government. He's already got a microphone. Oh, boy.
I like the other one because it has an on and off switch.
Oh, okay. Here, let's trade. Let's trade. Calm down.
Thank
over
you.
There.
And shut
so
up, F1 racer.
So we have we do have serious issues when it comes to if you are born in most black families in this country, you are put at a disadvantage in terms of your location, in terms of your education, in terms of your economic earning power, and it goes back generations. And those it doesn't mean that your chance of success is nothing. And I think a lot of times that's where the liberal crowd especially comes in and says, well, this is the excuse for people not to be successful. It's up to the government to fix the it's up to the government to fix the problems that the government created to make everything equal.
Right. Like, you know, like Thomas Sowell, hero of mine. Started out a Marxist, but ended up becoming PhD in economics. He's chair of the economics department at the Hoover Institute at Stanford. He was born in Harlem.
Harlem, yeah.
Radical Marxist, then started experiencing it. And instead of getting pushed into the groupthink of, you know what, we don't have a shot. Everyone else is to blame. Even the one exception, that doesn't disprove the rule. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, you know, maybe that doesn't actually hold. Yeah. And so he ended up having the courage to challenge the status quo amongst his community. And that is what is the... is scariest about what's going on right now is within those communities where there is a cultural pushback against accepting blame or saying, you know what, is it on me? When that's the case, and they're trying to stamp out free speech, you're removing the ability to even have a Thomas Sowell.
To have those discussions.
To have a Ben Carson.
The other part of it is you can't even have comedy.
No.
And I can tell you firsthand that the second you can start to learn to laugh at a traumatic event, both in society and personal lives, that is the moment that you begin to heal. And humor is the way that it's catharsis. It's how we deal with things. It's, you know, after 9/11, the comedian, you know, David Letterman, the broadcaster, Saturday Night Live with Rudy Giuliani and Lorne Michaels standing out there, those were healing moments where comedy institutions said, this is a tragic event, this is what happened, this is how we're dealing with it, let's learn to laugh again. And then they did comedy.
And they don't want it to be able to heal. They want it to stay a raw and open wound so they can make everyone else feel like they were the cause of their victimhood.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was a moment of healing, what happened on SNL and what happened on Letterman, where we learned to laugh again, where society took an exhale that Monday night when Letterman came back, or maybe it was a Friday. You know, entertainment institutions like sports institutions, comedy institutions, you know, movies, these are the stories that we use to bond with each other. And if you're going to silence the ability to heal, silence the ability to bond, silence the ability to have rational, reasonable discussions, then we are really in trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, when you don't allow, like, for instance, racism. When someone's called a racist, I, for a long time, have, you know, said that word has been robbed of any meaning.
It is.
You know, one, foundationally, human race is the only race. There's one. There's not multiple. So it's not a right. It's
Bill
not a proper
Nye,
right.
I mean, proven by science.
It's not a well, yeah, you and your science.
you and your facts. And
yeah. So it's, even though, you know, obviously that doesn't mean it can be robbed of its context. It doesn't. It's a bad word to begin with. Second, when you're saying that we need to do something because a different group is unable to, and it has, you know, the definition of racism uses the words inferior and, inferior characteristics and capabilities. And when that is your definition, simply by defining it, you're a racist.
Yeah,
and that's the paradox of it, is you're saying you're a racist, but because I'm saying that you're a racist, I'm also admitting they're incapable of handling it themselves.
Yeah.
And so we need to have the government do something about it as a collective. And if I'm a member of that, the individuals being persecuted or victimized, I don't believe I'd like that very much.
It's basically giving you no hope. You have no... Nothing you do is ever get you out of it.
And anything you do wrong is never your fault.
Yeah,
you have license. And then they wonder why. I mean, if you look at what's happening in the United States, you know, marriage rates between African-American families and or black families and white families were the exact same. What do you have? The New Deal. You have the Great Society. And all of a sudden, conservatives claim that by instituting welfare and the decaying American economy for blue-collar jobs, labor-intensive jobs, you had the erosion of the family unit because the husband didn't have to be there anymore. And since culturally the male wasn't the head of the household within those black families, there was a flight. And so then you had an erosion over time. And if you look at it, brand-new research out. It used to be that income was the highest predictor of success for a child. Now it's whether they come from a home with married parents.
It's not hard to figure. I mean, if a child's born, they should have. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, and you look at we do try to address these with social policy.
I'm sorry. I missed that about the child being born from a two parent.
Yeah, that's like the most recent.
That's a great
news making study.
Whether
it used to be income,
how a child's
going to
end up. How a child's going
to
end up.
Yeah, income used to be number one. No, it has. For the longest time, it was. Income was number one. But because we have a changing...
That was back when the wives didn't have to work or anything.
You had a regular, or a traditionally defined nuclear family unit.
But what's the thing with a two-parent
Oh no, it's not saying that. Like, it's not the research wasn't saying we should do this.
I'm just, I know.
I don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, what it said was that it used to be income was the highest correlation to outcome for education. Now it's whether you're come from a married family, whether your parents are still together.
I'm sorry, I didn't see the study at all. Was it like a? Was there any difference between like same sex or
no?
No, just two parents.
Two parents.
Yeah.
Hmm.
When and it's not saying we should pursue that. It's saying for the first time ever, income isn't the highest correlating variant.
No, I was just interested in knowing because I hadn't seen that at all.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, the only reason I feel that's relevant is
can you post this with the episode because I'm very interested in reading it.
Yeah.
Says the sociology major.
Uh oh.
Ruh-roh.
Sociology major, huh? Yeah.
A bachelor of feels.
That's a sociopath, right?
It's not a bachelor of feels. It's a bachelor of...
You ever hung out with a social worker?
No, they're different.
A lot of white privilege going on.
It's totally different.
A lot of white-splaining. Now, have you ever heard of the white-splain term?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, let me...
What about mansplaining?
Please.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I haven't heard it.
White-splaining, this is from Urban Dictionary. The act,
hold on. Yeah, we are totally quoting Urban Dictionary right now.
Of course. It's like Wikipedia. It's accurate. It's ahead of the curve. The act of a Caucasian person explaining to audiences of color the true nature of racism. A Caucasian person explaining the socio-political events and or history to audiences of color as though they are ignorant children. A Caucasian person explaining to audiences of color that what they think will benefit themselves and their families and communities will, in fact, harm them, and vice versa.
Amir, are you listening?
Yes, I am. We didn't give a mic to the one person of color in the room. U.S. Senator...
It's because I took it from him.
Yeah.
White's a color.
I'm sorry, be quiet. U.S. Senator Rand Paul white-splained to students at Howard University that a black Republican founded the NAACP. We know our history, Hayes said of Paul's question. This is now. That was in the past. So, you know, it just goes back to this is a very common theme that anytime you want to a group always wants to identify the official speakers on what is truth, what is supposed to be explained. People of other opinions are not valid, and then they are marginalized with terms like white-splaining or mansplaining. And it's like the crowd that says, well, if you've never served, you can't have an opinion on war. Well, no, motherfucker, I'm paying for it. And I have friends that are maimed and harmed and die in the wake of it. And you're doing it in my name, so I have a say. Just because you're pro-war and don't want me to be anti-war, that doesn't mean that you have a right to tell me to shut the fuck up. You know, people who... I think in a room full of white people, when we have conversations about race, there is a tension in the room, although we all have black friends.
Especially me.
Especially Aaron. We have Amir here. I mean, Amir, you're dark.
I'm black enough. I will be representing the African American community today. So therefore, all questions will be addressed, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer these questions. Yo.
Sorry about that, listeners.
Amir, as a man of Hasidic privilege.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you Drake?
Yeah. Are you Drake?
Are you Drake?
He's not in a wheelchair. He's not Drake.
No, I think there's a tension.
He dances like Drake.
There is.
I haven't seen it yet. We will this weekend, though.
Oh yes, you will.
Stop talking to Allie for a second. So we have. I don't think you understand what it's like to be a white person, Amir. So as we have these conversations, you as a person of color, you may not feel the tension that we feel in discussing these issues because you
don't.
Because I really don't give an F and I just say whatever.
Right.
Whatever I am.
And I think a lot of us in this room are that way. But I think for the most part, people.
That's why I love you guys.
People are afraid to talk about issues regarding race when you're white because it's uncomfortable and the line is so sharp between public ruin on Twitter and doing a good job defending your position.
You know.
And it's not even like we're saying anything controversial. It's just anytime you're talking about anything racial, you feel uncomfortable.
95% of it is sarcasm. So, I mean, no one should be...
Oh, is it?
And if you're arguing facts don't have to be defended. I mean...
They do now.
No.
Well, I mean, in the court of public opinion, you know,
who gives
everything.
Comedy is truth serum. So.
Yeah, if you and you know that's the only you know that's the only tool they have at their disposal. They don't base their arguments in facts.
No, it's all well. You're white. You can't talk
right.
about these problems because you haven't been through the struggle.
Right.
How hard is it to look at what's going on and throw out a solution or two?
Right. And you know their
what's,
point is
what's
always
logical.
I
no,
agree
because it's racist.
I right. agree with Brother Tyler. It is a race war against the whites.
There, yeah, there is.
What was that?
Have you tried being white in this country?
Yeah, and I'm not saying. I mean,
every day, man, I try.
I mean, being white is pretty fantastic. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that there is. We have now created
not on
an environment.
Social media.
There, we have created an environment where it is. We can't have a flowing exchange of ideas from an honest place.
No.
You know, and let's say that there are ideas that we have that are racially or culturally insensitive. We don't feel comfortable bringing those subjects up because, and our friends of color, like Amir, are never given the opportunity to say, hey, you're ignorant about that. You don't see it from my perspective because I live in a society this way. You know,
right. I mean, you guys may feel attacked, but remember, as that joke goes, at least you guys get to say, thanks for the warning, officer.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Keep that in mind. And you guys got that credit score thing going for you, so.
No, not in my case.
No. There's no such thing as good credit.
No. No.
Oh, I forgot you guys aren't Jews like me.
So
yeah, we don't. Our grandfather doesn't own the institution.
So, shout out to the Federal Reserve. Keep paying your taxes, 1913.
So how do we move forward and how do we carve out in
Let's march forward.
In society a safe space for people to have honest discussions, Greg?
You don't want to say that, because now, like at University of Missouri, there are black-only spaces that are safe spaces, safe zones where you will not have your feelings hurt and where white people cannot go to.
I don't understand that. Explain that.
So they had a list of grievances, and one of them was, you know, the university president resigned, but then there needs to be places for black individuals on a college campus where they can go and know that they will not have to be around any white people, because they feel like whenever they experience white people, they have to justify themselves, and they never get a chance to just let down and be black.
Okay.
How? I don't get this whole college.
Listen. I'm just telling you what this is.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
let's talk to our resident trying to be black guy. Aaron?
Listen, homies.
Oh, God.
Let down and be black.
Yo, yo, yo. We were listening to The Weeknd. We fit in with all those brothers.
We was.
He's
we,
from Toronto.
Wait.
You would love him.
Yeah. Shut up.
Do you have phloem hair?
I don't.
I don't understand why Dear Leader hates fellow Canadian Drake so much.
Because Drake is...
He came from Degrassi. How can he be so hard?
Drake ain't writing his own rhymes. Yeah, hold on. Here. All right. Give me your mic. Give me your mic.
Yeah, not on the public record.
I paid for this microphone, Sam.
I want to know why...
I want the microphone.
I want to know why black people relate light skin with feels with Drake. That offends me.
No, I'm saying that Drake... I don't like Drake because I don't feel... I feel like Drake is a tryhard. He's trying way too hard to fit in and be popular. When we all know that he's just a kid from suburban
Clarence.
Tirana. Yeah, I mean, he's just... He
Clarence
just seems
got
phony
two
to
parents.
Me.
Clarence got two
no,
parents.
Listen,
you were Drake is getting his money. He found his niche. Don't
right.
hate on Drake.
Right. Young, guess what his niche is? 24, 23-year-old white girls.
Yeah, and listen, guess what? That's a hell of a demographic to
yeah.
have, especially backstage. Yeah,
it's the
you
hell
know who likes,
of a
you know who likes
24-year-old
white girls? Everyone. All right, so.
Listen, I don't.
I've been doing extensive market research
Three more
on women under 24 over the last year.
I bet
and
you have been.
I have. I've listened to a lot of Drake. Yeah, baby, that's really good. I like that. Turn that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, yeah.
This is like the literally my nightmare conversation.
What?
I go 0 to
Drake.
100.
Can we go back to He's like, I left Florida for Drake.
Yeah, like I don't
You hate rap music.
I despise rap
Can
music.
Can we please change the conversation because nobody
music.
Cares about Drake right,
right.
now.
Right. Like so like rap music was good and then like all things millennials ruined it.
Yeah, and then they shot Biggie and Tupac
yeah.
and just went down the
That
shit.
Was
Greg,
great rap music.
You millennial, why did you ruin it?
I know. I did ruin it apparently. I should never have allowed We, in public school, you know, I was always the kid that said, you know what, we need to take the power from the students, or from the teachers. You know, I was very much on the side of, you know, even though my opinion's wrong, it should matter.
Yeah.
I no longer feel that way. I am not for a free market of opinions.
Well, when you get
I am for you, have a demonstrated track record of logic and facts and knowing how to argue well, and then I'm going to grant you a license to participate in the debate. What because I find, it is terrible what is happening.
What I find hilarious in these college campuses, they had the big march, like 1,000,000 students or whatever for the free tuition and all this other crap today. And I find it hilarious how the institutions, they have no control over these students.
Nope.
They're like, you're paying us money to come here and learn education, but yet we cannot tell you to shut up and go to class. All you're going to do is sit out here and protest nonstop, and you're going to get our administrators fired, our school presidents fired.
For not making me feel safe about being black.
For literally doing nothing that they could even do anything about.
And I find that hilarious because I looked up where the vice president of the student body went to school.
Okay.
He went to a school by Ferguson. Jonathan Sergers.
University of Phoenix?
If you look at his hometown and compare it to the University of Missouri's campus, and he thinks he feels unsafe in Columbia on a college campus, I find that hilarious.
Right.
There is no one being looted at, you know, the bookstore. There are no, you know, burning. There are no cops that are having under occupation and tear gas.
Did you see where the sign, the cultural center or whatever sign was supposedly defaced?
Oh yeah,
but it turned out it was just Photoshopped.
Yeah, it was only Photoshopped. Immediate outrage.
Yeah. Nice. Oh my god.
I honestly don't know what to do because there. What's the solution when you have created a generation of individuals who? What the whole point of, and I know as libertarians, the Constitution and the foundations of law don't really matter, it applies much, but in our society, the reality is that we have to have the right to free speech, and a requirement of that is that you're going to be offended. And if we say, no, you know what, the costs of free speech are just too high, we need to amend that. And people aren't being taught because they've gutted civics and government education and people don't have an interest in it and don't find it relevant. It's basically then an entire society based on whatever at that time feels good.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the accepted...
It's a Twitter generation.
This is what the accepted standards are. And the reason that's dangerous is because society as a whole trends towards collectivization and top-down and social planning. In the 1920s, what was in vogue was the Soviet model. It was, we're going to shut down all the churches. We're going to perfect the race.
Right.
We are going to perfect society.
And, I'm with you.
Yeah. And that.
Never mind.
Calm down, everybody.
That is the trend, though. Anytime the
so many boners, right?
The intelligentsia and the academics always want to, and it's with the best of intentions.
Yeah.
We're progressing towards something. We need to perfect something.
Right.
And what ends up happening though is. It becomes distorted. It gets too much momentum. There's too much vested interest. And so huge atrocities happen. And now you're saying we have an entire generation that's, you know, 22 decades away from assuming leadership roles that don't believe anything is based as like an absolute right, a natural right. There's only the group to consider. That is scary. And there is no fix.
No,
There's no, you know, there's no social justice warrior millennial holocaust.
It just takes a few brave men to post a few brave memes, and that's how we can change the world.
No, but
I think South Park is going to stop.
Oh god, SJWs. South Park has been so amazing.
South Park might be hate speech in not too long.
Yeah,
literally. Well, like, we're not that far off.
Starbucks.
Are you PC, bro? Are you PC?
You're going to yell into the microphone.
Army cells, brothers. These leftists are the
what? That was really worth
what'd
it.
What did you say, Army cells?
Apparently, the Formula One racer said to arm yourselves.
Arm yourselves.
He did. That haircut is fresh.
Did you get
as
a deal
fuck,
on that
man.
New Toyota truck out there?
Thank you. When you come to New York, I will take you to my Israeli barber, and he will give you that fresh fade.
If you try to take
that
our hate
fade,
speech,
that hipster bitch is getting fade.
76 will commence. I'm just saying.
Let's talk about Starbucks. So, I think Tyler feels this is a viral marketing campaign, and
I told you, I believe I said it. I had no idea what it was. I saw Aaron posted something about
the
cups, and I'm like, what the hell are you even talking about? And you're like, oh, it's Starbucks. And I'm like, all right, so I did some research, and I was like, if this isn't a marketing campaign, I don't know what the hell is. And then
they paid that douchebag Joshua Fierenstein or whatever his name is to make that video.
Can you look up what he actually said and let's read it?
Let's
what he wrote.
He's basically saying that if they're not gonna put
Merry Christmas
on this cup in his fake ass radio voice that no one talks like.
Look at
I'm sure it was. I used to be a huge fan of Reddit.
Wait.
Like back in the day when I was in college, and then
You're not still a huge fan of Reddit?
No, not anymore, because Reddit sold out. Reddit used to be just an aggregate of news, which when I used to love it, and then they changed it all around, and they started suppressing user votes, and they started upvoting just random accounts, and it was all due to marketing. If you go on Reddit right now, I guarantee you 90% of the front page is nothing but paid ads for McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Star Wars. Get on and look.
I'm a regular Reddit user.
Yeah, if you're not logged in. So like,
If you're not logged in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're not logged in. No, I have my own subreddits when I log in and everything. But
I mean, I found it, but it's like eight minutes.
It's basically a giant billboard, and I saw this, and I was like, this has got to be an ad campaign for Starbucks. Which, if it's not, it still turned out pretty damn good for him.
I mean, it's 8 minutes long. Do you want me to just play it and see what happens?
Isn't there like a quote? He posted something on Facebook that I thought was what tipped it off. And basically what he said is Starbucks, which has the Christmas blend and has all kinds of different
holiday products,
but they have a Christmas blend too.
I'm pretty sure this year it's holiday.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen lots
of photos.
You've
got to celebrate all of the holidays.
Yeah, it comes out next week, I think.
This guy wrote on, this dildo wrote on his Facebook page.
The most douchebaggy voice on the planet. Right. No one talks like that.
Let's hear some audio. Plug it in as best you can. Okay, so Aaron found the audio of, what's his name, Josh Feuerstein?
Feuerstein.
Uh-oh.
Okay, very, this guy.
Very German Nazi.
Yeah, play the audio.
Hey guys, what's up? Josh Feuerstein here. You know, I think in the age of political correctness, we become so open-minded, our brains have literally fallen out of our head. Do you realize that Starbucks wanted to take Christ and Christmas off of their brand new cups? That's why they're just plain red. In fact, do you realize that Starbucks isn't allowed to say Merry Christmas to customers? Well, I decided, instead of simply boycotting, well, why don't we just start a movement? So when I went in and I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what,
so
Starbucks,
edgy.
I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup. And I'm challenging all great Americans and Christians around this great nation, go into Starbucks and take your own coffee selfie. And then I challenge you to not only share this video so that the word gets out, but let's start a movement. And let's call it, I don't know, hashtag Merry Christmas Starbucks. And I know that by sharing this video and getting other Christians to do it, well, I guarantee that we can make this go around the world. And Starbucks, guess what? Just to offend you, I made sure to wear my Jesus Christ shirt into your store. And since you hate the Second Amendment, I even carried my gun. Yikes. Anyways, guys, please take a moment.
Okay.
I'm having a tough time with this.
Let's pause there. Yeah, hold on. What, Greg?
This video was paid for by Ted Cruz for Great Americans.
Yeah. I mean, what, Sam?
Well, he looks like a mix between Guy Fieri and Fred Durst.
He is Fred Durst.
He really does look a lot like Fred Durst, yeah. And I didn't realize, I thought he was a pastor, but he sounds like he's a radio guy.
Same guy.
Does he have a radio?
Yeah.
I've never seen all three of them in the same room.
No one's seen any of them, all three of them in the same room.
You know what's
room.
In that cup, in the Starbucks cup?
What?
Whiskey.
It's the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
That's strong, Aaron. It's very strong.
Wow.
So do we know anything about this guy?
All night for a joke.
He clearly sounds like he's a radio guy.
He sounds like he wants to be like a late 80s radio douchebag.
Sounds to me like we got the traffic and weather
top of the hour.
He's one of these guys who is an unintelligent, unfunny, uninspiring Rush Limbaugh knockoff who broadcast to 2,000 listeners, but he's got,
he's got a lot of followers. He panders to retards. And unfortunately, this country is full of retards.
Hey.
The R word. I know it triggered.
Are
you
mad because you're retarded?
Yeah.
Or just a woman?
Okay. Comedy, everybody.
Oh, boy. I can't even respond.
Her face. She's so mad.
Her face.
She's so pissed right now.
I'm not mad. I'm just really confused.
I'm just really confused. Greg, would you like to take...
I know that you guys are confused because there's a woman in the house.
Right, we're not sure what to do with you.
What do I
Don't let the downs get you down.
Okay. Wow. The opinions expressed by Greg Linz are not those of
Chris Spangle.
So please
edit all of this out.
You're going to violate the most basic of rules. Don't get me fired.
You'll be from your own podcast that you do for not-for-profit?
No, from his real job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, trust me. He couldn't, because they love it. They love the social media terrorism, because it just adds followers for you.
So I listened to this guy, and I'm more convinced that this was some sort of viral marketing.
I never even heard this. He had just now.
Yeah, he had a hashtag.
But that's what started it all. Well, his video is what started everything.
Right. Okay. I couldn't even listen through the whole thing.
But the timing of it, and just how perfect it was, it had to have been a marketing campaign. There's no way it wasn't.
Yeah.
He got a sweet check.
It doesn't matter, though. It worked, because all the Ben Carson... you know who's ruining this country? Young Bernie Sanders voters that are in college. Young white liberal college students.
The Yale students who were all doing the black power shit today.
Yeah.
They're all white.
Doughy white kids. If you go to the Weird Libertarians Twitter, you can see that.
Oh, it was great.
It's a hilarious line. And then the old white... our grandparents who are Republicans, Christian conservatives that vote for Ben Carson, they ought to all... I say we put both groups in a camp together.
Well, they use Facebook like... Remember the old email chain messages? They use Facebook now to spread their propaganda bullshit. It used to just be like some guy in Africa who's in France trying to get their fucking credit card number.
I bet you won't paste this as your status.
Right.
I won't.
If you don't love Jesus,
I made this my status like 4 years ago. Yeah. I've been bitching about this for years.
No, she was making a joke. I think that's absolutely true. There is this whole group of people that this guy sounds like he's targeting, because the only type of person that would listen to that is one of these old Christian conservative people who have no brain in their head. So they just listen to the guy who talks like this, who has no content, and just listens to Rush Limbaugh and then repeats what he says the day after.
Well, it's a clickbait title.
Yeah.
It's all that.
Right.
The BuzzFeed.
Right.
Oh, you won't believe who said what about what. And then, you know, people share that shit on Facebook all the time, and you got to go through 50
But the point is, Christians in this country, there is a segment of Christians who think that they are being persecuted, and that it is just so rebellious to walk in and, you know, say, I want my cup to say Merry Christmas.
Well,
as if you're doing something to promote Jesus by being an antagonistic douche.
All I want is for a Christian to get a Happy Hanukkah coffee.
I wouldn't care if I got a Happy Hanukkah coffee.
I know, but they get so upset about this red cup.
I really don't think too many Christians are getting upset about
Who's
this red
upset
cup.
About
it's,
this anyways?
It's this douchebag trying to drum up media
Lots
drama.
Of
Who is?
And
oh,
that's it.
Yeah.
I apparently
now
have
it sounds it seems like
my friends. To a level that they are accepting, who is actually getting in arms about this?
So this is like the outrage for profit sector of the internet,
where I dwell.
You know, it's the militant minority, that seem much larger than they
make
are.
All of our money.
And they live like they're the same people that do the racism outrage on college campuses.
It's the exact same crowd.
They are, except you know, one does it for Jesus and one does it for. Yeah. You know, Black Lives Matter or whatever.
It's pandering to the lowest common denominator.
Right, and so it's racism for profit or it's Christ for profit, you know. And then they end up, usually, they try a bunch of these tactics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they throw everything at the wall, see what sticks, and then they just pile on. And eventually it enters into the conversation of regular society. And the fact that we're discussing this...
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
We're helping them so much, because I bet you anything, that guy is not a pastor, or he might be a pastor, or he might be a part-time radio guy, but what he really is he has a website where he specializes in viral marketing.
Yep. And what was the guy that Armstrong guy who was paid off by various conservative groups to promote Bush policies?
Oh, Tim? Was it Tim or Scott?
I don't think it was Tim. It was somebody Armstrong.
Yeah.
And he was like a well-known conservative columnist, and he was paid by Republican, the RNC, to go out and promote Republican. I mean, that's what this guy is. This guy is a pay-for-play type of guy who is basically paid by Starbucks or some, you know, subsidiary of.
Shell Corporation.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know they'll always do it and make sure it can't be traced back to them. But for Starbucks, I don't know that this helps their sales because they have an exclusively white, you know, 35 to 45 or to 65 clientele.
Nobody gives a shit at the end of the
day.
They
also wear
as long as they have a good product.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. It does. You know how powerful awareness is, and then for every one of these old Christian conservative farts. I'm not going to Starbucks, or I'm going to go in there and write Merry Christmas on a cup. There's a college liberal douchebag or some old kayak-toting suburban Subaru-driving hippie granola crunchy guy.
Yeah, girl.
Going into Starbucks
to do it back
to support their team.
But even if you listen to him talk, he said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go in and put Merry Christmas as your name on your Starbucks to piss off Starbucks."
Right.
He's not telling you to ban Starbucks.
Right. Right.
It's a subliminally. He wants you to go buy more Starbucks. Right. I mean, it's not. It's quite obvious if you listen to it. To me, I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, don't boycott the company.
No. Go buy more of their shit and just put Jesus Saves on all the cups. Buy 50 of them and pass them out to homeless people. All
right.
What's that going to do?
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That was the first time I heard it was
tonight.
Hey,
Fred Durst, dude, no one gives a fuck what's on your cup, bro.
Right. Okay. And I
did it all for the nookie, bro.
I've had a couple friends who have talked to people that work at Starbucks, and they have said that this is just out of control and that they are just these poor workers who work at Starbucks who are just trying to earn a living are having these old – when I worked at a hardware store, the absolute worst fucking people on the planet to deal with were middle-aged white men. And so they've got all these horrible middle-aged white men coming in and being dicks to them for some sort of mythological thing that has been made up.
Well, they know better.
Yeah.
You'd think
so.
Well, they think they know better.
Middle-aged white men are out of fucking control. They run their own businesses. This is your future, Haroon. They run their own businesses and they just become fucking dicks because their life is so miserable and boring.
I will never be a dick, I promise you. Ever.
And they come in and they harass Starbucks people, and these poor workers are just inundated with this trolling. And there is nothing. Listen, we are in a room of professional trolls. We get... you're not as much yet. We'll initiate you into the Brotherhood at some point, Sam.
Oh, well...
The way that you get into the Brotherhood of shitposting is that you have to show the other guys your penis.
You certainly can't get...
Sorry.
I'm not in this group.
Yeah. And you certainly can't get rustled by the word retard.
Yeah.
The R word.
Right.
I only say that because my mom used to smack me over using that word.
Oh, yeah.
No, joke. She'd be like...
Me too.
You're not going to be that anymore. Yeah. But smack it out of you.
It's sensitive.
Get in. Heal.
It's sensitive.
Heals in the name of Jesus.
It made Charlie feel bad about himself.
No, Charlie got just wrestled about the R word himself. As I did. Oh, no. He didn't get smacked
over
it. But
that's the thing. Okay, let's talk about the word retard. Why do we not say the word retard? We don't coil in fear and horror and shame and awkwardness when somebody says something like the R word because we are personally offended. We do it because we don't want to be excluded from the group.
No.
We don't want the people around us, the reason that people don't like Greg's Hitler memes, even though they think they're funny, is that they don't
save them all.
And they save them. They don't want their friends, their family, and their coworkers to think that they like something that they actually like.
Mm-hmm. They're afraid it's the tyranny of public opinion.
Right.
It's a meme suppression, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
If a meme is fresh, creative, spicy, and a little creamy, you gotta like it, bro.
Some people live under the bondage of other people's opinion.
Yeah.
When it comes to the word retard, I like to use it.
Says the guy who is married.
In the actual
definition. And it's censoring memes.
Burn.
Feel the burn.
Rule number two.
I'm just saying, I think that when somebody says they are offended by something, they are full of shit.
Well,
they
that's are. What that's when you say, well, I'm not offended by it, so we're even, so get the fuck over it.
If I marched at Selma and I watched Mike Brown being shot, I might be offended. Hey,
hold
by
on.
Like,
why did you, Amir, the only person of color in the room, laugh so hysterically when Greg said that if I marched at Selma...
Because the thought of that is just hilarious.
It is.
Hilarious.
Greg marching or Selma?
Yeah, both.
Marching in the... It's okay.
Say it. Say what you think.
In a Nazi uniform.
You did not see his uniform?
Yeah.
didn't need to put your arm up.
Sorry, I was getting very Aryan over here.
Very.
It's clearly
She is the most Aryan in the room.
Let it be known that Amir has used all the Kleenexes. He's moved on to now.
I still have a few left.
Oh, he has a few. Okay.
Yeah, poor guy.
He's
got
a roll of
here.
Paper towels on backup.
The thing I do for this podcast.
Yeah.
Do they not have cats in New York? Like the rats eat them all? Or
the
what?
Chinese took them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So the old fucks who think that there is some sort of war on Christmas.
I call them geriatric fucks. But
listen,
whatever.
The Aunt Donna motherfuckers of the world who are sitting in the church pews, who are sitting there offended by everything because their America has been stolen. You're all out of your goddamn mind. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I'm just so sick of Republicans. Anybody over the age of 60 who is a Republican.
Boomers.
I really just want to put you in a camp.
Well, you know Christians are super suppressed.
Boomer camp.
Because when was the last time we didn't have a Christian president?
I shouldn't say sweeping generalizations like that.
Please don't talk about putting people in camps.
It's not going to be a bad camp. It's just going to be a camp that is friendly and clean.
You get a
casino
and a monthly stipend.
Right. Yeah. We're going to have Pat Boone come
and
in
you
and
get
do
one shower.
A couple of songs.
Oh my god!
We're gonna bring in Andy Williams and Pat Boone, and we're gonna show nothing but reruns of the Lawrence Welk Show
and Captain Kangaroo
and Andy Griffith Captain because that's my America too. Yeah,
yeah. You just described the villages.
Yeah,
just put a wall around the villages. Yeah. That's the plan. Yeah. I just
dear leaders, dystopian future.
There are people who are just not using their fucking brains in this country.
Nobody.
Well,
does.
It's that, and then it's a lot of it's cultural preservation. You know, their whole system of belief is that the America that they grew up in was the best America.
Yeah. Yep.
Make America great again.
Right.
And that their culture is responsible for creating the economic outcomes, the world power outcomes, the improvements in freedom. And that's something that, you know, I wrestle with it.
Yeah.
You know, are there cultural benefits from a certain system of belief? I think we'd be lying if, you know, we'd be on the side of the moral outrage crowd if we just totally said no. No matter what you believe as a society can produce good outcomes. But at the same time, I don't want to enforce it on anybody. And their goal is to, this is what we grew up in, this is what worked, this is what we're going back to.
Right.
And we have a whole bunch of selfies going on.
It's not selfies, I just am returning.
Does anybody else think about, you know, when we...
The children?
No.
Okay.
I never think about
robots
the children.
Robots are the future.
No, I was just thinking, you know, when we become...
Old?
That, uh-huh.
Yeah, old, yeah. Essentially.
It's going to happen.
And that will.
Are we going to think the same way?
We will. Even in ancient Greece, they talked about how damned their society was because of the young kids. I mean, this happened with Pericles and Aristotle and Socrates, and it goes on and on and on.
I just listened to the amazing episode with Lorne Michaels on WTF, and he talks about how SNL has been the voice of generation. He can tell what years the high school kids, you know, they what cast you like the most is what years you were in high school, because the whole
not
point,
us.
Yeah, the whole yeah, I know I'm a '92 person, but the whole point of the show is basically satirical comedy. I mean, it is mocking powerful institutions, and
anymore,
somewhat still. No. I mean,
funnily.
They said right to Hillary Clinton's face, like, yeah, you could have supported gay rights. I mean, right to her face.
Yeah, but they also donate a shit ton to her campaign.
Right.
Well, they just gave Donald Trump 12 minutes of airtime.
Nah, and made fun of him the whole time.
He deserves it.
Yeah, so, I'm not saying he doesn't, but...
So, what was I talking about?
Lorne Michaels.
But there is... There
yeah, Michaels but so, you, we when we're young, we have a little bit more of...
You're more impressionable.
Yeah, and when you get old, you become more establishment. And I think all the time about this. Think about now, and as I'm 32 and I'm around people, I surround myself with intelligent people that are humorous, that are funny, that are accomplished, that are successful. And I really can spot a dumb person a mile away. And I just think about how many people, like, you associate somebody who's like 60 with wisdom and, and accomplishment. and intelligence, and they've lived a while, and they just have this attitude that they know better than other people because they've lived longer. But the truth is that they might have been the 30-year-old that was just fucking stupid. And just because you're old, it doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about.
When you're a kid, you think all adults are some next-level shit, and they know more than you, and they've got their shit together. And then when you grow up and you're an adult, and you're like, okay, maybe there are no real adults. I don't know.
Right.
I think this is the baby boomer generation is the perfect representation of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Kerry was the tantamount 1960s anti-war advocate, you know, going before Congress, protesting Vietnam, going, Woodstock hippie. Yeah. Now he's Secretary of State.
Right.
And so you look at that and you say, where did his ideals go? Where did his, these things. And so we have to be cautious, though, too, and set not, because it's very easy for, God, these old white people are so stupid. Yeah. And on its face, it would certainly appear so, because they want to use force and codify cultural, standards. But we have to be conscious of saying,
I think they have the ideals deep down. They're just have sold out to the system.
No, they've sold out.
They've become the system.
Right, and I believe that, too, but I'm saying we can't not to look at the other side and expose ourselves to it and say, well, maybe since they did live through it, we can't just say they're dumb because this is what they believe.
Essentially,
right. that is ignoring and choosing not to have the full facts in front of you. They have experienced something. There is a collective wisdom from going through something. I don't believe like they do, but I don't want to ever be just the skeptic hater.
Yeah, marginalized what they've been through. But you have to realize the majority of those people now are living off the government.
Yeah.
Right. They also supported the generation before them. So sure. I look at for them, they made a deal with the government. We'll pay for the retirees now and with the expectation it's ours when it's there.
Yeah.
And they fucked themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. Well, the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
We got to wrap up because I got to go to bed and poor Amir is going to die. So at the end of every show, we give everybody a little chance to say whatever they like, a little open forum if you'd like to self-promote, if there's anything you'd like to say that you didn't get to cover. You just get a couple of minutes to chat. We're going to go ahead and start with who wants to go first? Aaron.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed tonight. Thank you for inviting us into your luxury apartment here in Southport, Indiana.
Thank you.
Greenwood.
Would you like to go ahead and give the fucking address as well?
I would. It's 8274.
It's right off of 65.
Son of a bitch.
It's in a very sunny
Better bleep
apartment
that shit out.
Complex.
All right.
But anyhow, I would just like to invite anybody that's listening to follow my Facebook page and see all the dank memes that I steal from Chris and Greg.
Dank.
Yeah, and I create a few of them. Most of them I steal. So
yeah, you're a little.
He's got that right.
Listen, I need some more followers. I only got like 2,500 or something.
Tyler and Greg are producers. Okay, they make memes.
Hey, I'm in the
meme fields all day. He's out there watering my memes.
He's out there watering his memes. He goes in, he tries
to grow big, and then all of a sudden somebody just tells
your memes.
He dries the memes. He puts them in the clay oven. Yeah.
He makes god tier memes.
I do it all, and then all of a sudden, just somebody comes up, snatches them up, and I'm just like,
very spicy.
See you later.
No. What you do is then you hand them off to the Pablo Escobar of memes, and then I distribute them on the masses that has never been seen before.
Listen, I'm Bernie Sanders of memes. I'm just redistributing them. Over
No.
Feel the burn.
You're a low level distributor. You're basically in the wire. You are the low level guy.
But I'm still.
You're not even Bubbles.
The thing is, I'm still hooked.
You're the Bubbles of memes.
No, listen.
That's your new bio. That is your new bio.
Listen,
you're gonna have your face on Bubbles.
I'm still hooked on memes, all right? But I gotta spread a few to get a few more.
No, you're fucking using your own product, bro.
All right, and I'm allergic to spicy shit, so
you know what is so funny?
That means your memes are
you're getting high off your own supply,
but
bro.
But listen, I just downloaded Superimpose. I've been making some pretty dank shit, but they're horrible looking.
I know.
Yeah, but everybody knows. Hey. Blowing up my news feed, I'm like, what is this dog shit?
Hey, the principle and the ideas are there. I just have to hone my.
Can we
meme
move
skills.
On to the next person?
No, I want
to. I like hearing Aaron talk about memes. Because literally, for a long time. He's been wanting to make memes, but never took the leap into creation. And now I'm proud of him for taking that first step.
I've always made memes, but now it's like I'm working into the next level of memes where you actually Photoshop, you know, and I'm
will
only
you
using
actually create something.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, like, I could take a picture and put words out on it. Any dumbass.
Next thing you know,
make those kind of memes.
Bro is getting a $20 a month subscription to Adobe Creative Cloud for Photoshop. Then next thing you know, beyond that, he's getting Lynda.
Hey, all I know is
he's getting Lynda.com for $30 a month. Next thing you know, you're $50 in deep for memes.
You guys are a year into making like Facebook pages for me, creating this like Belinda Ewart character.
I've been making memes since you were
so
gleam in your
hashtag,
mama's eye.
All this stuff. I'm just now beginning to get back at Greg. Okay, I made Humpty Dumpty. I made him into Humpty Dumpty falling off of a wall that Trump was behind. And it was Trump's wall on it with a Mexican flag on it.
But they weren't making it. The Mexicans weren't.
Not very many people liked it, but I think it was spicy.
I liked it. And I appreciated
caliente.
The effort.
Was it picante or caliente?
I think it was very caliente.
Ooh, spicy caliente.
Yeah, I just think it's funny the idea that memes are drugs.
Yeah.
Like, it has made me laugh from the very beginning. And then, like, it went to a whole different level when our friend Christine's mom, like, was like, You need to seriously get away from these memes. They're going to seriously ruin your life.
Memes will rot your brains.
Yeah. And then memes have caused some serious issues in your life, Aaron. And
they have.
Chris, you got my dad hooked on memes.
I got your dad hooked on memes, bro.
Got any more of them dang memes?
That's why I had to give up memes, because your dad started asking for memes.
Got any memes?
So I had to go to GIFs. Well, I can't be when the 60 plus crowd starts getting into memes, that's when
it's
over.
60.
Oh, okay. 50.
But he asked me what memes. No,
that's what Chris used to call them.
Yeah,
memes.
Memes and memes.
I knew they were memes for a long time, but I called them memes just because it
just
drove
to piss me off.
It drove listeners crazy. Memes. John Muser. Every time I saw John Muser, he was like, "You fucking idiot! They're called memes."
Wait, are they GIFs or GIFs?
GIFs.
No, they're GIFs.
I'm firm on that. Fuck
do you.
Do
you drive into? Do you pull into your garage or your garage?
Garage. Aaron. No,
what are you promoting?
Tyler.
I'm not promoting anything. I'm not a narcissist. I just whatever. It's all good.
He's drunk.
No.
I've only had
one beer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Greg?
I'm abiding by rule number 5. But yeah, you can follow me.
I'm going to go last and let Amir and Sam go before me.
Hey, all right, Sam.
Go back and listen to Tyler on Jeff Vibbert's podcast. It was R-rated, but you'll love it.
It's very spooky.
It was a spooky podcast.
As if this
wasn't
R-rated.
It was the one after the spooky podcast, wasn't it?
Well,
can I ask?
Oh, yeah.
Was it spooky like boobies?
What's the other kind, Sam?
He recorded it before the spooky podcast, but they released it after.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
He had to wait 3 weeks for that podcast.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, it was cool because I ended up making the artwork for Jeff's spooky podcast.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a good graphic designer, and he's working on an electrical supply
house. Yeah, I'm super talented in like anything that I do. But
you're just fucking lazy.
Yeah, I'm not lazy. I just don't give a fuck. Like,
right. That's what
I'm just waiting on this asteroid. I'm waiting on this 2012 asteroid to just take out the Earth.
What happened to your hand?
I got a car wreck. Where
he totaled his brand new Honda.
I'm sorry, we're not friends on Facebook.
He was whipping that Honda Civic. It was like a 2014.
No,
he tried to whip it, and then he
was trying to.
I said, "Watch me whip."
No, stop.
Watch me T-bone. Stop.
I will not tolerate white people doing that anymore. Stop.
No, for real though, that motherfucker was just like.
Said,
"Song's over."
See, I had fallen asleep like at 8. So I woke up the next morning and there are all these memes of
there was memes made about 5 minutes after he was in a car accident. He sends Snapchat.
All right, everybody one at a time, please.
I got tweeted an RIP like meme with my car on it.
I made that like 20 minutes after.
Yeah, with like wings and shit, and it's like the
I got a lot of shit for
the
that.
The showing is next Thursday at 3 p.m. and
I wrote on your wall.
And I'm still in the hospital. I'm like, these motherfuckers.
I wrote on Aaron's wall. It was like, when are the funeral arrangements?
Yeah,
I
like he finally gets to meet his great grandma.
I can't, even though
she's still alive. Yeah, and she saw the meme.
I made a meme of your great grandma and you where you two are cheesing next to each other. You look exactly alike, that same shit eating grin.
At her 97th birthday. And
I wrote.
And she's like, "I'll see you in heaven, Tyler." I get there, or whatever the fuck you said. I was like, "I can't wait to
Meanwhile,
actually go."
He's got like a surface wound on his hand. It's like 7 stitches. That's it.
I'm getting like text messages. "Did you cut yourself with a chainsaw?" I'm like, "Yeah." Who's running a chainsaw at 6:30 in the morning?
Drive it. Well, you shouldn't have been driving and drunk.
Yeah, I wasn't drinking at 6:30 in the morning, anyways.
Did to deal with my accident.
Amir had an accident as well.
Yeah.
He has a Maserati.
Yeah, he kind of ran into a
little more
towers.
Expensive than the little Honda Civic.
Did watch that happen beer. When he was in his Formula One races?
He was
out. So, here, take that mic.
He's wearing a Formula One jacket for the listeners.
That's an F1. No, that's...
Here, let me have yours.
Nope.
Same.
Did you see me? He's like, yeah, so Amir had an accident. I was right next to the Maserati dealership in Indy, like 15 minutes after his wreck.
Everyone's wrecking their cars.
And yeah, it seems to be a thing with libertarians, Aaron, because I know what's going on.
And I took a photo with the thumbs up and a big cheesy grin right in front of the sign.
I wasn't rustled by the slightest.
And then I posted it, and then Tyler
had it crashing through the Twin Towers.
It was amazing.
He also put the Syrian dead baby, and that was
me.
Right. That was literally the funniest. I've never laughed as hard as when that Maserati that was crashed was coming out of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Because Amir, being Muslim, we joke about him being a terrorist, right? So
play the fifth.
Amir, I know that you have not enjoyed my apartment. I am sorry for having cats, but I love them more than I love you.
I've tried to make the best of it. I appreciate your invite and finally meeting you.
Yeah.
Hopefully I survived the night.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Go take 2 Benadryl. You'll wake up. Call me in the morning.
I have Benadryl in my purse if you'd like some.
Yeah. She's rolling around with drugs.
You do? You tell me now, 5 hours into this?
Well, nobody brought up Benadryl.
I don't know if you're a true soldier or not.
Oh, like, I'm allergic
to... You think I'm a fed?
I'm allergic to cats. I'm dying. For 5 fucking hours, and you have Benadryl in your purse.
I see this girl, like, snorting Xanax and shit, like, crushed
I saw
off,
this
like,
in Dumb and Dumber. My hands have been sweating.
Well, here's the issue, is that nobody said the word Benadryl. So, I didn't think about it.
You're, like, one of the smartest people I know. Sam, you're one of the smartest people I know. You couldn't put the two and two together.
Sometimes intelligence.
She likes to see brown people suffer.
Yeah.
My brother just said book smarts.
Come over here. Come over here, you.
So yeah, thank you, Chris. And if you guys want some of the content that was joked around, you could add me on Facebook. I'm Rothschild. It's 2 A's M-I-R Rothschild. Shalom.
All right, thanks for coming to Indiana. We're happy to have you.
Yes,
we bust your balls. We plan our phones instead
Thank
of talking
you for
to you.
Flying all
but
the way in.
We really do love having you here. Charlie Nix joins us. He is the drunk. He is the designated driver of his drunk sister, Sam. What is she? Was she like this growing up?
Yes.
No, she took a big, strong nosedive when she moved to the West Coast, California.
Yeah, is she pretty liberal?
Oh, yeah.
We call that the left coast around here.
Yeah.
I call it the best coast.
The best coast, right.
Since she left.
Yeah, she got away from
her. And then
it
came the phone back. What's wrong with me?
Charlie, what's your political persuasion? You're 20.
I'm a lot different than you. I'm a lot different than you guys. Uh-huh. I believe in public services.
Uh-huh.
And lots of rehab and
future investment.
Better than jail time.
For sure.
Continue.
Yeah.
This is you got to talk.
So yesterday Charlie actually had a friend that passed away from a heroin addiction.
Oh yeah.
Issue.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
The rehab thing is, in case anybody's wondering, Chris and Greg and I's hometown is...
it's being overrun by heroin.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, Long Island. Literally every place, because...
The Northeast, it's an epidemic.
It's become very cheap to make.
It's cheaper than meth right now.
Yeah. Yes. Heroin is very cheap to make, and people got addicted to opiates, and it's very easy to get addicted to opiates if you have surgery. And so people get hooked on heroin because it's the cheapest form of opiate high at this point, and it just goes south.
It's terrible.
I would recommend watching The House I Live In. I would go check that out on Netflix. It really kind of shows you the history of the drug war, the ineffectiveness of the government in fighting the drug war, and how people like your friend are directly affected by government policies. I mean, it's just... Sorry to hear that, buddy.
I just think it starts from ground zero. There are over 5,000 people in Marion County under the age of 18 that are homeless.
Wow.
And that's just in Marion County alone.
Yeah, that's a city of 1 million people,
so,
for reference.
I think that there needs to be more public housing, more support groups, and things of that nature.
Right. We don't disagree. We just think that it's best done privately as opposed to by government funding.
But if you try and get clean by yourself without a court order, your insurance typically does not cover rehab.
Sure. So what we're saying is that would still continue to exist. It's just you wouldn't build existing government programs. You would run it through nonprofits, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're totally
on the same page, man.
Yeah.
Instead of an agency, you go to
a cage, you know,
Wheeler Mission, something like that.
Yeah. And we certainly don't.
I mean, not Christian oriented.
You don't lock people up for drug offenses to go into prison where they can get more drugs and learn to become better criminals.
Yeah, let's put them in a cage with
other. Major over here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I studied this. I actually took some criminal justice classes. So a lot of the recidivism that happens for either drug users or people like juvenile criminals, they're not getting the rehabilitation that they should. They're just being thrown into jails and stuff, and they're not actually like learning from their mistakes. And so one of the big things that there's actually been research about is that if you actually put these people into some sort of therapy, they're able to like learn from their mistakes and actually heal and become productive.
The roots of drug addiction are not generally physical. The roots of drug addiction generally are emotional issues that need to be treated for the drug, you know, for any therapy is the treatment. It is not.
It's a symptom, not a cause.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you know that actually. End of the mic. Sorry, I'm really bad about this. Any sort of drug usage or repeat criminal behavior like dies once you hit 25.
Yeah, I believe it.
No, it doesn't matter about race. It's every single it's if you don't go to jail before you're 25, you probably won't go to jail.
Didn't work for me.
Close.
All right.
Not everybody's.
Another statistic. Beaten by Aaron.
So I just provided my sociology curriculum, and I have nothing else to provide after that because I don't do shit, and I'm really bad about talking in the mic. But that's it.
All right, cool. She is not a cat. Please don't play with the laser toy on my nipples.
Greg didn't talk about what he wanted to talk about.
I think we're getting there. Okay. Greg's last. Yep.
No, I was going to say, seeing as that's obviously near and dear to your heart, and then as us being former, I guess, productive members of said community.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie and Rand are the only two people that look at currently it's 80-20 split on money spent in incarceration and rehab, and both of them have come out and said they want to flip it. Those are the only two candidates that are actually serious about that. Hillary Clinton is going to do whatever gets popular to win votes, and same with the rest of the Republican crowd, but that's something that has not come up in a debate yet and really should, because it affects way more individuals than anyone even considers.
Yeah.
And it's, when that happens in a community like Plainfield, you take a Quaker community, long-term, you know, very, very great community, I think.
Right.
You know, and they never had many drug issues or problems or like, you know, nothing like that.
Nothing like
it's
that. It's
also
going
a community of less than 30,000 people.
Just hit 36. Isn't that right?
Did it?
Probably.
Yeah, they just did. I mean, that's last year, or actually this year, maybe. I don't know. And I may be wrong about that, but you know, that's very odd for that to happen because that wasn't our experience growing up.
Not
whatsoever.
At all. I mean, 10 years ago, it was not our experience.
You know, I couldn't even. Maybe. You, I mean, you're much younger than us, so.
He's not even 10 years younger than us.
I know.
That's the difference.
In less than a decade.
Yeah.
My brother is 6 years younger than I am, and I can tell you just like sexual adventure between my grade and his grade was light years. I mean, they were doing
Maybe
way more.
Just cooler than you.
They were doing way more. No, not him. his classmates. Probably still a virgin.
He was only a distributor. He wasn't a creator.
Right. But I mean, it just like he'd tell me stories about like stuff that was happening in middle school.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? We didn't even know what that was till junior year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, there's always like there's always the one that's like the one urban legend of the girl that got fingered in the Pizza King or whatever.
You tell so many Aunt Donna stories.
So many memes made from this podcast.
Yeah.
Tyler fingered Aunt Donna in the Pizza King. Pizza King.
The train. He ran.
You see the little train going around? That's Tyler.
He's putting quarters in. He's putting quarters in the TV to try and cover up the noise of Aunt Donna's pleasurable moans. Okay.
And then I just wanted to say, Amir, it's been wonderful to meet you in person. Enjoyed it. Thanks for coming on.
We have three more days to go.
Oh, I know.
You're not leaving me, are you?
No, I just was glad. It's great to
always leave me. Please don't leave me. Podcast.
The funny, this is why I love this podcast. While Greg is giving serious statistics about drug facts, Aaron has a laser beam pointing it at Amir's crotch.
And I'm so trying to get mittens to attack.
You were talking about Aunt Donna getting fingered at the Pizza King.
So while Greg is trying to bring smart commentary, the rest of us are giggling like schoolgirls at Amir's crotch.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, thank
I
you
was really hoping mittens would have attacked.
I just was saying, you
no,
know.
No, I like...
All right, kids. Thank you.
Oh, can I... We'll say it. Thank you, Amir.
Thank you as well, all of you guys.
Tyler, your commitment to your Halloween costume as Paul Walker... I mean, you were this close, buddy, to pulling it off.
Were you bleeding?
Nice. Nice.
I only had the Porsche Carrera.
Because I had it totally in my head that you were just totally doing the drive-in stare that morning with a honey.
Tomorrow at the steakhouse, tomorrow night dinner, when they ask, how do you want it? Say Paul Walker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's well that's
done.
Really good.
That's well done.
Yes.
All right, that's a pun for Sam.
Oh, can I, please?
No.
And this with my favorite pun?
Yes, go ahead.
A steak pun is a rare medium. Well done. That's my favorite pun.
Hey.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down. Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
That was a brutal.
Same time
so
next
brutal.
Week.
If you put that in a meme, I might laugh.
Being a vegan is a mistake.
Are you a tilt?
You can't run past.
I am becoming a part of the war on comedy. Thanks to you people.
Apparently.
See, I am very not the free market when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Puns and sarcasm. Hey, puns are kind of funny. They're occasionally
I
my
like
boss.
I like camping because it's intense.
My.
Who do you think you are? Till the pun?
Yeah.
Till the pun.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Weird Libertarians.
And as always.
I've got fucking nothing after that. And as always.
You can't run in a campground.
You what?
You got to get it right. There's a little bit more to that.
Past tense.
Got a date tomorrow night with Tinder downtown. Thanks a lot, Indiana.
And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Please, Christ, do better.